I was going to kill him.
Was it chewing? Was it the chewing noises? What
no.
got you? Farting?
You just, certain people you could take in certain doses.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
Yeah.
There's some people like, how are you doing? You know, there's some people like, how are you? All right, fist pound, goodbye.
Right, right.
You don't want to be snowed in with those people.
No, and New York adds another level because there's no square footage. You know, it's one thing if you go, I'm going to go in the other room, close the door,
yeah,
play some
music. Yeah,
you
go to Nate's house. You don't might not see your wife for fucking 3 weeks.
Exactly, exactly. He's got a home theater and a what are those yeah. simulated golf things?
Oh my God, what a great place to be snow. He might not even know there's a quarantine.
I don't even have a closet. Oh. I'm going nowhere. I'm fake shitting. I'm in the shower just standing there looking at the conditioner.
Trying to take a longer shower.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it's brutal.
Reading the conditioner bottle.
It's really a test of like, can you get through this?
Yeah.
It's tough, but. You give me fever. When you kiss me, fever, when you hold me tight. Fever in the morning, fever all through the night. Everybody's got the fever, that is something you all know. Fever isn't such a new thing, fever started long ago.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank Podcast. I'm Ari Shaffir, the host of this podcast. I host a podcast called Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank, and that's what you're listening to now. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to announce, if you don't know, this is the very first podcast that is on my new YouTube channel, Skeptic Tank Pod. You might want to check it out. We're going to have clips there. We're going to have tons of shit. If you're listening to it on audio, which probably most of you are, don't worry, your experience will be exactly the same. In fact, in some ways it'll be even better because YouTube doesn't... What's the best way to say this? YouTube has a stricter rule on appropriation, artistic appropriation of copyrighted music. Yeah, iTunes and fucking audio doesn't give a shit, I guess. YouTube will take everything down. So on the YouTube channel, I'm not going to allow to use the music that I love using. You know, if you listen to this podcast for a long time, I put in 3 to 4, sometimes even 5 or 6 thematically appropriate songs to, the podcast episode. So like, for instance, if you don't remember, one of my favorite ones, I did Rick Ingram. We talked about having diabetes. He found out he had fucking type 1 diabetes, that childhood diabetes he developed when he was fucking 20, like 4, 25 years old, something like that. And we talked all about like what it's like to have diabetes and shoot himself in the stomach with fucking needles all the time. Every time he had a meal with insulin. Pour Some Sugar on Me by... Every time I can't remember something, it's because I haven't smoked weed. I get this reputation of like, oh, you must be high right now. Every time somebody says, are you high right now? It's almost always, no, I'm not high. And I think that's maybe the abnormal so that people go like, well, you must be fucked up because you're abnormal. Pour Some Sugar on Me by it's the one guy with the one hand, right? The drummer, Def Leppard. I used to listen to that in sleepaway camp. Anyway, guys, I'm getting sidetracked. On today's episode, Mark Norman comes in. So here's the deal. The reason I've been so lax on this podcast, last one I put up was February 7th, I think, with Chino LaForge about Hawaii. I spent all my time, looking for an apartment to use for this fucking podcast, for this video version of the podcast. It's so fucking horrible. So really all of February was spent looking. With apartment brokers, the most crooked fucking industry that I come across in New York. Oh, they're fucking garbage. But don't use the word garbage. Make a better, more witty comment about them. They are as crooked as that big black dude's cock. That's more curved. Anyway, I'll think of something. But the point is, it was every day, all day, and I just didn't have time to fucking... I thought what I was going to do is get one. The plan was to get one, to get a studio and then have them and then like not be able to start building until March, go on vacation, and then come back and start doing it, you know? But all my time was spent looking for one. I fucking hate them so much, those brokers. They're just the worst. And you tell them what you're looking for and they're like, no, you can't find that. You're being too picky. I'm like, I'm paying you thousands of dollars and I'm being too picky. And then you're like, I have found stuff like that. They're like, well, then why didn't you get it? And I'm like, this is your business model? I didn't get it because they had a fucking collection out against me for $75 and the guy, whatever. I lost an apartment because I had a $78 fucking Cedar Sinai collection out against me. Because Cedar Sinai, you sent it to an old address. I haven't lived in LA for fucking 7 years, you fucking cunts. Whatever. The place I got was great. And then I got it. And then I was like, Beck, you're building this thing up. Do you mind if I just go on? I went skiing. I went to Park City. I used my Epic Pass. I went skiing. And it was wonderful. Fucking wonderful. 6 days. 2 days of fucking slush. Didn't matter because it was warm skiing, which is great. Which is great. Up top, it was not slush. Down with the fucking, you know, all the kids ski, it was slushy. But then it was like Friday, Saturday. Sunday, snow day, all day. Monday, got the pow from that. Tuesday, Wednesday, it was warm again. And it got a little slushy. But it was great. It was fucking wonderful. I had a great time skiing in the woods. The point is this. I came back, finished off building the studio. I was able to do one podcast before all this fucking madness. Please tell me I'm recording audio. And I am. Before all this madness took hold. And this is how fast it went too. Well, you know what? I'll say that for the outro. I'll say that part for the outro. I had Mark Norman in. And you know I always do a theme. The plan, I'll just tell you the plan. The plan was to have the studio to do one thematic podcast a week, like I always do, about a subject. And then save it for like drunken podcasts, late night at the stand. We're all at the stand drinking, DeRosa, Big J. Hey, let's go back to my studio. Record a fucking drunk podcast as a bonus. So I was thinking I was going to do two, maybe sometimes even three in a week. Not to mention other shit that I wanted to do at the studio. Which you will see on the fucking YouTube channel, Skeptic Tank Pod. Yeah, you'll see it coming soon. I have a workout regimen. I have a fireside chat. I have a fucking coffee. Make coffee with art. Morning Joe, I call it. Stolen name for sure. But the way I make my Morning Joe different than whatever, I think it was on Fox News or ESPN, one of those, is I, so far, have been, right now I'm only doing it on Patreon because I had to leave my kitchen. I'm going to do a different style of making coffee every day. But I got to two and then I had to leave. I had to come to Baltimore. I also escaped. So this right here, this set is not the set. You will see it if you're watching on YouTube. But right now I'm recording this in my fucking witness relocation program situation. I went to Baltimore, to go to my parents' new place. We're going to hang out with them there. I'm like four blocks away, quarantining myself and my boyfriend and my dog. And we are just chilling. So this quarantine house, there's like a bunch of cool locations. There's a fire. I'm going to do fireside chats too. Some of these might be on Patreon. Some of these might be on the YouTube channel. And some of these might be on the iTunes, you know, on the audio feed. But we'll see. But anyway, so I'm quarantining myself here. It's boring as fuck, but whatever. It's actually not bad. Bennett loves the backyard. I mean, and it's so much. Dude, having a dog in New York is so fucking terrible. When it's raining or cold, here, when you live like a human, we live like rats in New York. We live like rats. I don't remember what I talked about in this episode with Norman, but the theme for the episode is the coronavirus. I told Mark, I was like, come on over. And he's like, can we wear masks? Okay, he said, can we go shirtless? I'm like, yes, we can go shirtless. Do you want to wear masks as well? And he goes, absolutely. So after I do this intro, we're going to go to the studio. I did one fucking podcast. And then I was getting ready, and I'll talk about this in the outro. I was getting ready for more, and the shit went haywire. So this is the only, so far, and maybe ever, we'll see, podcast recorded from the new Skeptic Tank Studios. The fucking mural you'll see a piece of because we lost a dead-on shot from Ted Munson? Mosaics? I'll give him a real props once I fucking get back in the studio in 2024 or whatever this fucking virus ends. Do you think it's going to end? I'm really not sure. I don't know what I said then, but I'll tell you, we recorded it on probably, bars were still open. You could still go out, I think. So it was like, well, I had just gotten back. I got back on the 12th. So it must have been 13th, 14th, something like that. 15th, maybe, of March. And now it's like the 25th, 26th. And it's so much different. Shit progressed. I don't know what you guys are doing. I assume everyone's quarantining now. We didn't think it was going to be a real thing. That's why also this YouTube channel is going to get going. It's going to entertain you guys. As is all the fucking offerings I'm going to bring you. Don't worry. If you're listening on iTunes, don't worry. Or fucking Laughable or Spotify, whatever. You're still going to get your shit. You're still going to get all the regular shit. But there will be fun clips and all that shit on the fucking YouTube channel. Instagram too. Instagram, Skeptic Tank Pod. Twitter, Skeptic Tank Pod. Whatever. But anyway, that's why the delay. And now I'm back and we're going to be doing a bunch of video. It's going to be all video shit from now on. Outro. This is outro shit. This is outro shit. Wait. I have a... Do you like this? This episode is brought to you by Sheath Underwear, everybody. So, okay. The guy said I could say whatever I want. He heard my fucking Blue Chew ad read that got me... how shall I say this? Lost my relationship with Blue Chew. I did it, but I don't even think I did anything wrong. It was one of my most, like, complimented ad reads I ever did. I was doing a podcast about dogs, and I was saying, you know, if you love your dog, the best way to show them love is to fuck them, and you can't fuck them unless you're sexually attracted to them. So why not take a fucking bunch of boner pills and be able to fuck your dog? And they're like, it's bestiality. I'm like, it's not serious. It's like some of these podcast advertisers don't understand, like, the people, it's not just going out to NBC. It's going out to the people who listen to that podcast. It's not a random thing like on radio where it's like you might just be in your car. You have to actively go down and fucking click on a podcast. So no one's going to listen to it unless their friend. Occasionally someone will be like, their friend told them to check out this podcast and they'll check it out. I'm like, ew, not for me. Dude, I got so much heat yesterday for this fucking, or yeah, yesterday. For this fucking Kenny Rogers or whatever the guy's name was who just died tweet. I guess somebody, why would you show a tweet to people who aren't going to enjoy it? Somebody sent it to a bunch of middle-aged Midwestern Republicans. And they're all like, how dare you? You have such a terrible sense of humor. It's like, it's not for you. I didn't even get mad at him. I was like, who showed this to you? You shouldn't have seen this. The Gambler. Was that Kenny Rogers? It was, right? Kenny Rogers? Yeah. Like, you shouldn't have seen it. It's not, I'm not even upset. I'm not mad that you don't like it. Like, if I'm in front of my mom, I don't fucking curse up a storm. I don't talk about fuck stories because it's like she's not the audience for it. And if I told Big J a great fuck story and then he recorded it and sent it to let's say, to your mom, I'd be like, Jay, what the fuck is wrong with you? And your mom would get mad at me. And she'd probably be right to get mad at me. But I'm like, really, you should be mad at Big J for fucking sending that to you. It's not, you're not the audience. And the shit I put up on my Twitter is from my fucking fans, the people who follow me on Twitter, not anybody else. Don't be, what am I supposed to dumb it down because someone else might see it? Fuck that. I'm here to fucking do the jokes I find funny. So anyway, the point is, Blue Chew lost it. And so this dude who makes Sheath Underwear said he liked that fucking ad read. He likes the podcast. I can do whatever the fuck I want. I'm not going to test it yet. I'm going to do an honest ad read the first time. They're all going to be honest ad reads. I'll be honest. I'm always honest. That's why I don't do gambling shit. I don't think people should gamble. I think the only way gambling websites make money is by you guys, the listeners, losing money. If it was Coca-Cola and I did a Coca-Cola ad read, it's like, well, you get a Coke. They get the money and you get a Coke. Gambling is like they get the money and you get a loss of money. I guess the thrill, but I'm like, nah, I'm not telling people to do that. Have some fucking, you know what I mean? Have some self-respect. Unless you're an avid gambler, then it's like, I get it. Then you're honest with yourself, at least. I don't agree with you, but you're being honest to yourself. All these fucking sellout comics, mostly LA comics. Fucking say no to an ad read. No, that's not true. There's plenty of LA comics. Dave Anthony, he says no to shit that he doesn't believe in. He's got some fucking integrity. Some of these guys have some fucking integrity. But not many of them. You see people doing 5-6 hours. Anyway, the point is, this dude from Sheath, he's some retired Army veteran. He made some underwear. And I'm going to be honest with you guys. I'm going to tell you about it, and I'm going to tell you what my plan was. My plan was to say, this underwear is ridiculous, and I'm not taking the dude's money because I'm not going to fucking promote some fucking awful thing. But I tried him on, and okay, so you know how underwear has, like, sometimes men's underwear anyway, I don't know what women's does, a hole in it so you can, like, pull your dick out and piss without having to, like, take your underwear off, which is, like, who invented that? Which guy was like, we had the full underwear, just a fucking, like, you know, a Speedo bathing suit, and like, no, let's put a hole in there so you don't have to lower your thumb. Take your thumb to the thing and lower it to get your dick out. Who was like, we need this innovation? And by the way, on the old tidy whities, you had to like snake it around to get it out. On boxers now, sure, it comes right out. It's almost easier. Great for blowjobs. Those boxer holes, great for a blowjob. You don't have to pull them down, pull them out. You ever have that where a girl just drops to her knees and just fucking unzips and pulls it out with your pants are still on? One of the hottest things ever. Do not marry whoever that girl is. But keep her in your life as long as you can. Anyway, so the Sheath guy, I believe he sent me some early prototypes like a few years ago too, because I think I had a pair of an old pair, and it was just like this pouch for your dick and balls. But he's got this new thing that there's a pouch for your balls and then a separate pouch for your D. And I heard Big J and Legion of Skanks doing an ad read for them, and in my head, I'm like, there's no way these are going to be anything but weird. And so yesterday, I had these things in my apartment for like 3 weeks waiting for the ad read, and I didn't try them on. And then I was like, let me take them with me to quarantine. If I'm going to do this ad read, let me at least try them. And I tried them on, and I got to tell you guys, they're so fucking comfortable. It's so fucking comfortable. It takes your balls and puts them away, and then you put your dick into a separate hole, which I thought would like pull. It doesn't pull at all. Dude, this fucking ad read, you fucking goddamn veteran, you better fucking pay me. You better not like be like the US government who treats you like fucking garbage. You better pay me. Don't use garbage. Who treats you like fucking trash, uses every one of you. You're committing suicide at rates that are astronomical, and they fucking throw you out. Don't treat me like the U.S. government treats you. Anyway, the point is, it's so fucking comfortable. I have them on right now. So, okay. I'm not gonna pull my dick out, but I am going to. If you're watching YouTube, I am going to fucking show you. It looks normal. And by the way, it makes your junk look fucking massive. But the dick, it's in. Like, the balls are in. It's so fucking weird. I'm pulling him out now. But wait.
Okay, don't show dick. Do not show dick, Ari. Not on your first fucking YouTube. So balls go in there. Dick goes in there. You got pouch. And it's like they're floating. And then here's the easy hole. Dude, if you let me do another ad read, I'll tell you about the weirdest fucking... If you pay me for another ad read, you fucking veteran, whatever your goddamn name is. Don't even say your name. I'm going to tell you about the weirdest sex move I ever did. One of the bravest, most fucking out there thinking sex moves of all time. And it was all related to this fucking hole in the underwear. Dude, it's so comfortable. It feels like your dick and balls are floating on a cloud. Anyway, are you kidding me? All right, I'll do that fucking ad read part now. Go to sheathunderwear.com and order with promo code Ari to get 20% off your first order. Why can't they all just do the fucking regular promo code? They're always like, Skeptic4. That, no one's going to remember that. Ari, that's a good one. Sheathunderwear.com, promo code Ari. 100% money back guarantee. What does that mean? You're going to fucking take people's underwear back? Unless that's a good idea if you sell them. If you sold girls' underwear and made them intentionally shitty and then give them money back guarantee, you could get that underwear, sell them on those fucking weirdo sites where they sell girls' underwear. Sheathunderwear.com, promo code Ari. Support the show by supporting them. Go to sheathunderwear.com, promo code Ari. Let them support your balls. Dude, I'm telling you, it's fucking crazy.
taking this belt off, so I don't have to fucking deal with it right now. Okay, so anyway, 20-minute fucking long. I forgot how long my goddamn podcast intros are. He's fixed the problem. I wonder. Robert Patton. Oh, okay, that's his name. Second tour in Iraq. The desert heat kept sticking to us. Okay. You got your fucking ad read, Patton. But I'm telling you, give me some more money and I will fucking tell you about the. That's what I'll do on the next podcast read or the one if I remember. Anyway, so the point is this. Mark Norman came in. We did our fucking podcast. And then it was over. We will get back there. But until then, I'm here in this fucking quarantine house setting up weird. I mean, this dude who I think his parents fucking decorated this shit like in the 70s and that has not changed since. You guys got to go. If you're listening on the fucking, if you're listening on audio right now, just check out the fucking intro on Skeptic Tank Pod on YouTube. Just check it out. Just look at it. You'll see this fucking glorious, like, this fucking scene right now. It is nutty. How cool this is. The last time I was in a house like this was with Ryan O'Neill. Last time we was in Park City. Two times ago, actually. Last time was with Mark Normand and Bert, Sean Patton, Ren Azizi, and what's going on? What was ringing? Oh, maybe my phone was ringing. Who was there? O'Neill. Oh, full circle. O'Neill, Sean Patton, who will be on this episode podcast soon. O'Neill, Kreischer. O'Neill, Kreischer, Ren Azizi, who will also be on soon. They'll all be on soon, probably. O'Neill, Kreischer, Ren Azizi, O'Neill, Sean Patton. Yeah. But anyway, the two times before that, I went with O'Neill. We stayed at that kind of war veteran's house. We did a, it was a Ski Utah podcast episode. That was the last time I was in as cool, as 70s a place as this fucking witness relocation house. So let's start the episode. I don't know what else I have to add. I hope you guys are being safe. I hope you're staying away from people. Not only to stop the spread of the disease. I'm going the other way. Some people go like, stay safe, but also to help other people. I'm saying not only to help other people. Think of yourself. Like, you don't want to be sick. You don't want to go to the hospital and be on a respirator and then be in one of the statistics of survived. Not terminal. But also be in a fucking hospital for 4 days. Just fucking stay home all day, every day. Get delivery food. Oh, this podcast is also sponsored by delivery food. When you can't go out, think delivery food. I think that's it. Should we start the episode? So guys, it's on. I'm back with a vengeance. I'm going to do all these fucking, it's going to be fucking computer interviews now, from now on. This is the last one that's going to be live. And again, we lost that fucking dead on shot because the fucking, whatever. It was supposed to be a learning curve anyway, but Mark Norman was the last one. And then, it's just going to be a lot of fucking non-live episodes. Some solo episodes too. We'll for sure do that. And then, I don't know, on Patreon, if you want to go to patreon.com/skeptictank, I'm putting up tons of shit, an old comedy set. Not an old comedy set, my last set before the shutdown. Mailbag episodes where I answer your questions. That's patreon.com/skeptictank. And I don't know, guys. It's just going to be a fucking new. So the same shit as always, but different for the Skeptic Tank. So here we are. Join me for the last one. And maybe. It won't be the last one. We'll get back there. Unless it goes full apocalypse, we'll get back there in. I'm guessing when we can congregate again and actually do podcasts, I'm guessing late June, maybe by July 4th. That's my legit guess. Every time you think you have it under control, it just doesn't. But anyway, me and Mark Normand talked about this, and Mark's hilarious. I don't know if I said this, but he's on the Tuesdays with Stories podcast with Joe List. You definitely want to check that out. I've been on the live. No, I've been on there twice, I think. So you can start with those episodes. But really, just them two together shooting the shit is where you want to start. So check that out. At Mark Normand. Could be Mark Norm on Twitter. I think it's Mark Normand. Did you change it? No, whatever. And ladies and gentlemen. Okay, so here's what I'm going to do, just so you know. At this point, I'm hoping we had a picture of the setup, if you're on YouTube, of the setup of the podcast, just the couch itself with the fucking mosaic behind. So in the place of the music, I'll just show you what the fucking dead-on shot would look like. Imagine Mark sitting, if you're looking at it, to your left, and me to your right. I had the mosaic to my right, and Mark had it to his left. But anyway, the audio people, you'll still hear the music right now. So, ladies and gentlemen, oh shit, I didn't fuck. No, I know what I'll call it. No, I have to call it something. Corona. I didn't think of a fucking name. It's been a while since I've recorded a podcast. It's been a while. I forgot I had to come up with a name beforehand. But sometimes I do it on the spot. Ladies and gentlemen, Ari Shaffir. So now what I'm doing is I'm just starting it, hoping some name comes to me. It's about Corona. Oh, we drank Coronas too. We sat and drank, me and Mark Norman sat and drank Coronas. Me through a metal straw underneath my fucking mask, balaclava, ski mask. And Mark with a fucking surgical mask, I believe. Drank Coronas and shot the shit about Corona. So, yeah, that's what I'll call it. Ladies and gentlemen, Ari Shaffir Skeptic, episode, oh, I have no idea what number it is. 300-something. Ari Shaffir Skeptic, you'll know. I don't, but you'll know because you'll fucking see it right there on the listings. Ari Shaffir Skeptic, episode 300-something. Is there any way I can fucking find this? Any information on this? Nah, fuck it. Whatever. Oh, podcast. Here it is. Podcast. Hot Tub Time Machine. Oh, Hot Tub Time Machine. That's the one we did in Park City, 347. This one is not. Okay. No. Up next is the first one. Ari Shaffir Skeptic Tank. Here we go. Come on, dude. Okay. Aloha Ive was the last one. 379. 380. Ladies and gentlemen, Ari Shaffir Skeptic, episode 380. Wait, oh, I just had it. It was like something like another Corona. Oh, I get it. Ladies and gentlemen, Ari Shaffir Skeptic, episode 380. Enjoy your Corona with Mark Norman starts now.
You got to take chicken die, follow the game. You got to take chicken die, follow the day. All the medicine you can buy, all the doctor you can hire. You got to take chicken die, follow the day. In his hand, then I believe all power in his hand. Over land, everywhere, anywhere, the Lord is there. You got to take the gander, follow the day.
So here's where I am. Welcome to the podcast, Norman.
Yo.
I'm trying to make it as casual as fucking possible.
Yeah, very cash.
So like we're not even supposed to like notice the cameras and shit. I don't want any monitors that you're looking at constantly.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
It's a great space. You're killing it. I mean,
thanks,
right
bud.
In time for a pandemic.
Right. Well, I guess let's get into that.
Yeah.
Let's start. I mean, I was thinking I was going to do no theme, but like, of course, the first theme will have to be this.
It's on everybody's mind. It's all we're thinking about. We might have a lockdown soon. Italy's dead.
Italy's gone. Dude, my friend in Austria, Innsbruck, they're like full curfews.
Wow.
Spain, if you're going anywhere except, the exceptions are to the pharmacy or back, to the supermarket or back.
Uh-huh.
If you're going anywhere else, you get a ticket.
Ticket?
You're not allowed to go anywhere.
Jesus Christ. I mean, can you... how do you regulate that? Can you even pay a ticket? Who cares? Is anyone checking in on that? Are you really going to charge a guy who's trying to take a walk?
This is the people below me. My dog started barking for like an hour and a half. We went out to dinner. Uh-huh. Last night, we're allowed to have dinner. So we're like, let's go out.
Yeah.
And
we should cherish that, by the way.
I know. Like,
thank God I can come here.
Right. Dude, we should. That's why they were like, okay, after today's Tuesday, on Monday, by the way, Tuesdays with Stories is a popular podcast with Mark Norman and Joe List.
Yes. Queef.
And I was like, we got to go out. We're not going to be able to go to a dinner in a long time. And we thought of going to one place we really liked, but I'm like, the ambiance isn't good. Let's go to this place we really like. It's a nice, cool place.
Yeah.
You got to enjoy it. Anyway, the dog was barking nonstop, but the people downstairs. No, Mark, no.
Oh, shit.
The people downstairs were, they sent a note. They're like, if your dog keeps barking, we'll be forced to report you.
What?
For the first time, I was like, report us to what? What do you think is going to happen? Do you think they're going to throw us out now?
Right, right.
Do you think they're going to raise our rent? Are you crazy?
Oh, yeah. Your
it's
landlord.
The worst possible time.
Your landlord has flown back to Uzbekistan or whatever. Oh, you got a straw.
Yeah, I got one of my.
Genius. Genius. Oh, you just got it. Look at that. Boy, great studio. Killing it. There we go.
So let's get into it.
Yeah, please.
I mean, what have you been doing?
Well, I live with my lady, so we've just been shooting videos and trying to watch streaming bullshit, and I'm writing tweets. So we've been shopping. She's been cooking. She's never cooked a day in her life.
She's been trying to do... I think people are going to do a bunch of new shit, or at least want to.
I think this is going to create a lot, because you got to get creative. Or you'll kill each other, or go gay, or something. So you got to figure something out, so... We just shot a video today. It's doing well online. I think somebody's going to write a movie out of this. I think something's going
to
happen.
Yeah, Liz said he wants to write a movie trying to for a while. The weird thing is like you have like I remember when Norton. Remember when O&A got thrown off for the homelessy guy saying he wanted to like fuck Condoleezza Rice hard.
Yeah,
and they're like that's rape, and he's like, that's not what I meant, but okay. And also, an open answer was like, it's not us, it's a homeless guy.
Right, right.
Anyway. So they were thrown off. They were suspended for like a month or something. No, Mark.
Shit. Forgetting.
Norton said he was like, he didn't know what to do with his lack of creativity. Because every morning he had 3-4 hours of fucking creative time.
You need an outlet.
He just did tons of stand-up. So now all these comics have no stand-up.
Right.
They're going to do some they're going to put some shit out.
Totally. I mean, it's like the same way, you know, guys who have to wake up and smoke weed. Or they need to exercise or they need to get laid. We all know that guy. Or they start going crazy. That's how we are. We got to get up. I've written like 38 jokes on Corona, and I got nowhere to perform them. And then everybody's like, do a VR, do a whatever. And I'm like, I need a crowd.
Yeah, I need a crowd. Well, that's what podcasts are pretty good. You don't need a crowd.
That's true.
Dude, I'm going to do like, if this is locked down for 50 days, I might do like 75 podcasts.
Do them. People need the content. We can't watch Ozark for another 2 weeks.
Yeah.
By the way, you watching Succession?
I just started it.
Oh, it's amazing.
I just started it. I'm like three episodes in.
Love it.
Is it really good? Everyone talks about it. So we're like, me and my girl, like, let's pick a thing we like.
You picked the right one, and it keeps getting better and better. And I know it's a little slow now, but it picks up.
People say it's funny, but it doesn't seem...
There
was like
funny.
3 or 4 jokes in 3 episodes.
It's coming.
Okay.
Don't you worry, your pretty little ski mask.
Okay.
I want to say this, first of all.
Yeah.
Pornhub, shout out to Pornhub.
Shout out always to Pornhub. Why?
They've given free porn Italy and now Spain because they're on lockdown, so they're just being nice. So Pornhub has waived the fees.
For what, the extra stuff, the starred ones?
For everything.
Well, it's always free.
Well, you get a clip, but I'm talking everything you want, the whole catalog.
The plot?
Everything, the plot.
What? Yeah.
You can see the pizza guy now.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
More like, how'd that pizza come into this?
They make the pizza. They show you how to run the dominoes. They say the N-word.
They flour downstairs.
Yeah.
They have like some Italian guy going, it's all about how much you let the crust rise.
Yes, exactly. So they're getting free porn, and churches have closed.
Churches have closed. So I saw a rabbi yesterday that was like, yeah, we're not. Doing it. I was like, no religious exemption? It's not like a fucking Dude, it's a disease.
Yeah.
It's not about that.
Well, it shows that, A, religion isn't real, because you should be saving the day, and you flew the coop.
Yeah.
And B, porn is more morally just and more decent than religion.
Wow.
Look at that. Porn won in the end. Oh, it's indecent. It's obscene. Fuck you. They're philanthropists.
You know what I think is cool that I've noticed? For the most part, not all, but for the most part, I have noticed businesses bending over further backwards than I thought they would to be nice to people in this time.
Yes.
Airlines going, cancel anything, no fees.
Yes.
Airbnb say, don't worry about the fees.
Right.
First they were like, cancel, you can only pay the fees. And they're like, actually, not even the fees.
Yeah.
Grubhub is like, we're not charging businesses anymore. Uh-huh. Only delivery fees, but like the businesses, we're not charging them.
Nice.
Yeah, it seems like people, and then here or there, like, so like Airbnb said, no fees. All these hosts were like, well, what about our fees?
Right.
And everyone's like, guys, shut up. We're losing billions of
dollars.
You can lose your $150.
Right, right. Yeah, people are good. And I mean, maybe we needed this. I mean, sure, your grandma is going to die and your pawpaw.
Yeah.
But maybe we need a little, I mean, everything was Trump and cancel this and I'm offended and this is gender
Dude,
norms.
It really does. Like, what's important now?
Yeah, exactly.
Can you imagine a fucking, they misgendered someone now? And it's like, dude, who gives a fuck? That's my theory always. Those things, those little microaggression type stuff,
yeah,
that only comes up in times where everything is really good.
Exactly.
Because,
exactly,
like, when they're separated from their fucking their parents in the cages in the fucking border,
yeah,
no one's going to like, I'm a them, not a
he. Right, right, right.
You know what I mean? It's only when everything's easy you can concentrate on these little nothings.
That's a luxury. All that shit is luxury. When you're fighting the Nazis, real Nazis, not Ben Shapiro or whoever.
Right.
You know, when you're fighting the real Nazis, you're just worried about surviving, keeping your family intact, paying the bills, and you're not worried about
some little nothing problem.
Right, right.
That's what I saw Aung San Suu Kyi, the leader from Myanmar.
Uh-huh.
She was under house arrest for like 20 years.
Uh-huh.
Got out. They're like, you're going to be good now? She goes, no. They put her right back under house arrest for another 10 years. Yeah. Actually, it wasn't about punishment.
Right.
I think we should be free. anyway, they asked her about feminism. Like, are you a feminist? She goes, oh, we don't got time for that yet.
Ooh.
Because we're trying to get out from under the thumb of the army.
There you go.
We don't have time for like, guys, later.
Yeah, yeah. People are getting canceled by death.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not getting canceled. Oh, you tweeted something about black people. You should have said person of color. You're gone. No, now it's your Kobe stuff is forgotten, by the way.
Oh, for sure. There's still a few pests, but it's like you guys, you're milking it too much.
You're milking it. You're hanging on by a thread. Get out of here.
You ever see people like run a joke too long? And you're like, dude, it's embarrassing now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now they're like, yeah, you're embarrassing yourself.
Yeah, but you're right. Businesses are helping out, and we need it. And it's global, which is nice.
It's global.
This isn't like America. No, the world is fucked. So it's kind of like we're all in this together. We're all human. It's not just like America versus Italy versus China.
We saw, me and Beck saw a lady yesterday and was like, this is ridiculous what New York's doing, shutting everything down. And we're like, oh, it's not just New York.
Uh-oh.
I got the whole stuff coming.
Oh, yeah.
So I got the ones that the seller ordered. I got those coming.
Oh, good.
You haven't used these yet, but I got Lysol.
Yeah.
So like, but these are just one-time use, I guess.
Right, right.
Too bad. They're like, well, they're like $3. But like the seller was doing the thing. That show's there, right?
Yeah.
They would give you a new mic that you use, put a brand new sock on.
Little Jerry Curl cover.
Uh-huh. Then you bring it backstairs. They lice all the shit out of it.
Yep.
Take the sock off, lice all the shit out of it, and then like get ready for the next person.
Yeah, the seller's always on top of it, no matter what. You guys hate a check spot? We'll get rid of it. Oh, you guys hate the phones?
Do you remember when there were check spots there?
No, I don't remember.
Oh, right. But
right. They don't have them.
Yeah, no
and
drops. No check drops.
They got the phone pouch.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, they're killing it.
Yeah, I have noticed in terms of the like a couple of the fucking Indian-ish, Bangladeshi, Pakistani are price gouging on the fucking hand sanitizer.
Oh, dude, I bought this mask today or yesterday. You know how much this cost me?
How much?
I had to fight with a guy. He had like a stack of them in his little. It was one of those little mini bodegas in a Subway. You know, like down
in the subway.
In the subway, he's got the nuts and the chips and the newspaper.
I like those things. I was like, "Why is this legal?" I like it though. When you're waiting, you're like, "Fuck it, some almonds."
I mean, the guy's gonna die from just rat fumes getting blown on him all day. But fuck it, he picked that gig. But yeah, he had these hanging. I was like, "Oh, I need one of those for a sketch." And he goes, $8. And I was like,
$8?
This is like nothing.
For a fucking 40 cent mask?
Yeah, and it's from China, by the way. That should
it's already got it on there.
Mark it down a little bit, yeah. So I'm going to give myself Corona. And I go, I'll give you two. I mean, this is a piece of cotton dog shit.
What'd he say?
And he goes, $5. And I said, $4. And he goes, all right.
Wow.
So I got him half off, but still, $4?
That's crazy.
That's half a burrito.
And it's like, look, part of me goes, well, it's the market, you know, whatever. But it's like, yeah, but still.
Still.
Somebody got mad once at a pizza shop. I'm not going to say who because, like, I'm trying not to say names lately. And I don't know the story fully. Mm-hmm. But during Sandy,
yeah,
a pizza place near the cellar.
Joe's?
Was I'm not going to say who, but like, but John's? Not Joe's. But was price gouging. They were
artichoke.
Like $8 for a slice.
Yep.
And they were like, I'm just never going to go. My friend who told me that was like, I'm never going back there because of that. And it's like, why would you? It's like, all right, go up a dollar maybe. How about go free almost?
Oh, you know? There you go.
But I'm like, same price, okay.
Yeah. We could all learn a little thing from Pornhub.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. I think people are showing their, there's apparently a petition going around to stop rent. Like, hey, we got to stop paying rent for a couple months.
Well, what's going
to
happen with that?
I don't know. We're all just gouging money. We're all just bleeding here.
But I mean, like, I keep trying to think about it from all angles. We're like, yeah, no one can afford rent, right? I mean, every seller waitress and stand waitress,
yeah,
they can't afford a week off. They definitely can't afford a month off.
Yeah.
So they're not going to be able to afford their rent.
Yeah.
But like, if they don't pay their rent, does the landlord, they still have to pay their fees, right?
I know, exactly. It's all crumbling. It's a trickle-down anal. I went to an Irish pub. The bartender was Irish guy, miserable. He looked like Conor McGregor lost.
Yeah.
He was crushed. I gave him like $20 on a beer. I felt so bad.
I've been tipping
bad.
Everybody real hard because you know they're out of work right now.
And we're fucked, but we have this at least.
Yeah.
But, oh, man, I was just selling tickets. I mean, you've been selling tickets for a while now, but I just started selling out and making some money, and I was going to buy a bigger apartment and a car and all this shit, and it all went to hell.
It actually doesn't affect me at all. I wasn't going to tour again until about...
What?
I was going to go to Edinburgh in August.
Wow.
Do one gig in July.
Yeah, you're buying
an apartment. I just finished my hour, so it's like it's time for time off to build a new hour. But like,
can you sell that? You probably have a better shot now or a worse shot.
If I had filmed it...
Oh, you didn't film it?
Then in like a month or two, what if we're all like, hey, you need content, right?
Yeah.
I got some.
Right.
Yeah, I could have gouged them.
Yeah.
But now it's like, nah, it's still not till whenever.
And now you got to figure out how to film it.
Yeah.
That's scary. And get a crowd. You got to have no crowd.
No, I got to wait now till fully crowds come back and then are fully back and then schedule it again. It's going to be a weird one. I'll have to dust it off for like 6 weeks or something.
Yeah, yeah. Well, mine is shot. Mine is edited.
Yeah.
And I've thought about doing the Sam Morril thing and giving it to Comedy
Central.
I'd
wait a month.
Would you?
Yeah, right now. Let's see how this plays out.
Okay. Well, what are you thinking?
Well, nothing is being filmed now.
Yes.
The way Netflix works is they are very hand-to-mouth. They are very like, shoot it, edit it, get it up.
You don't think they got a backlog of Joe Rogan?
A little bit, but in...
Dave Chappelle's got three in the can.
In 55 days... They might be out of it. The way they shoot, edit, go up,
yeah,
they might be out of them.
All right.
At some point, they're going to be like, we need new content. Not just them, but HBO Max is still coming. I mean, you're not going to be a Disney thing, but like...
Good point.
But like, I'm just saying,
Amazon.
I don't know what the rush is. I would wait a month and see how this all plays out.
Interesting. Okay. Okay, because it's a solid hour. It's shot well.
I'm sure
it's already
done.
You're
a great comic.
Oh, thank you.
But like... But
I didn't, I thought about getting it out quick because they need it, but that's interesting to sit on it, play.
I mean, you don't do topical jokes, really.
No, it's all universal.
Evergreen. So, like.
Evergreen.
I'd wait.
Okay.
I'd just wait a little bit.
Interesting.
I don't think you lose anything by waiting, and you might gain. Because, right, there's nothing being shot as of Sunday.
Yeah.
Till whenever.
Interesting.
So, I mean, keep that in mind. Nothing's shot this week. Nothing's shot next week. Nothing's shot the week after. So,
yeah.
You know, how many new specials can they show?
Good point.
How many do they have?
Right.
Well, HBO, how many do they have?
Yeah. Seinfeld's got one they're sitting on.
Really?
Yeah, but I mean, that's Seinfeld. That's another.
Yeah, sure. I'm sure they have some already.
Interesting. But then I thought about this, and tell me what you think about this, Fatty.
Yeah.
This feels very Shafir wheelhouse.
Okay.
Putting it up, posting them like, hey, I got this special. I'll give it to you. Whatever for free on YouTube, but hit the donate button, or do I put it behind a paywall and make a lot of money?
You won't make a lot of money behind a paywall. That think Louis was the only one who really hit that hard.
Yeah, I'm not famous. Nor do I. Have
and also, even the people after Louis, Rogan, and I've heard Gaffigan a little bit. Like,
yeah.
Didn't quite get the same bump.
He got like 8 million or something.
Who, Louis?
Yeah.
Well, he made a million. Remember, he made a million off the first one.
I think
people
he made
like,
more than that.
I mean, it probably kept going, but I remember it hit a million.
Yeah, yeah.
I just don't think it. I think it was novel. Like, what? I can own a special? But then Netflix came and it was like, oh.
Good point.
It's like once Spotify came, iTunes sales are gone.
Yeah.
You know? Anyway, I don't mind the idea of, and I told Sam maybe to do this, and he was like, nah, it's not for me. But of like, hey, I made this. Here it is. Here's my PayPal address. If you like it, throw me a couple bucks if you think it was worth it.
And all right.
If I make my money back, I can make more of these. If I don't, then I can't. But if you guys donate your... I'm telling you, it's the Edinburgh Fringe Festival model, the free fringe, where it's like, you just come to see the show. If you like it, I'll be out there.
Right.
Throw me some... And the college kids had 1 pound, maybe 2 pounds. Like, that was a great show. And the adults were like, here's 20 pounds.
Huh.
Like, that was a good show. I had the money.
Yeah.
You ever tip... I know you're one of the cheapest guys I know, but do you ever tip somebody just like a lot?
Yeah.
Like in the last
yeah.
3 days, actually. Yeah. You know, these people are going out of business.
Totally.
You know? So it's like, here's $11. I'm like, here's a 20, keep the change. Like, really? I'm like, stay strong, man.
Totally.
You're going to need this. People have that money.
Yeah.
So it's like, if you're going to put it up on YouTube anyway, why not have that thing right there? And at the very end, have a little thing like, guys, you know, it's like, you come in, like, you want to subscribe? That's it. But instead of that, it goes, guys, if you like that, definitely subscribe. But, it cost me a bunch of money.
Right.
So throw me a couple bucks if you don't mind.
All right. I like it.
Here's PayPal. Here's Venmo.
Yeah. You're a good business Jew. That's why I wanted to run that by you.
Yeah. I just think it's like an artist. Like, it's like the NPR model.
Yeah. You know? They're doing great.
Well, I mean, they're not out of business.
Well, they have telethons.
Right.
That's
a whole... But people pay. They're like, I want you to stay in business. And you'll get somebody who's like, here's $100.
Yeah, exactly.
For sure.
You get a couple of those whales, and you're riding home free.
But you remember in college, when you were stealing CDs,
yeah,
you couldn't afford to give a musician fucking $5 for a new album.
God, no.
But now, you could.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, some people will see it free, but if that's the thing. It's like, I don't want you paying. You don't have any money.
Yeah.
I want you paying
and
make up for those people who don't have any money.
Sure.
And then you guys will be ticket buyers in 7 years.
Right.
You know, when you finally have a good job.
Which is the Bloomberg model.
What?
Well, that's what everybody hates, all these billionaires, because they're like, you have money, give it to me. Where do you stand on the whole everybody hates the billionaire?
Everybody does hate the billionaire.
Yeah, but my thing is, I don't know anything about money, I don't know anything about business, I don't know anything about politics, but common sense-wise, I'm like, well, that guy made a lot of money. Shouldn't he keep it?
Absolutely. I heard
Obama
say this thing once.
Capitalist or socialist. Yeah. I don't know anything about that. I'm just saying I'm a dumb guy looking in.
Yeah.
This is what I think.
No, a lot of people hate people who are doing well.
Yes, the Jews.
Sure.
I think that's part of the shame.
Well, one thing, I think I had a theory that like people will take down, just comedians, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
They'll tear down the ones on top.
Yes.
And the reason they're tearing them down differs from person to person. But what's similar is, we want you down.
Yes.
So, Dane Cook and Mencia, you guys stole. How dare you? Ren Azizi, you lied.
Mm-hmm. Louis,
you did this bad thing. Roseanne, you said a fucking thing, even though you're fucking crazy and whatever.
Yeah.
But you said a thing that was racist. Larry the Cable Guy, you're lame.
Right.
Whatever it is, we don't want you up there. We will figure out a reason. Kevin Hart, you said a thing 15 years ago. We will figure out a reason to tear you down because we don't want you being above us.
Yes.
So with billionaires, it's like, nah, I don't like that.
Right.
That's a normal thing. But me, and I saw Obama say this, where it's like, let's say Steve Jobs. This was like when I was still in LA. He goes, he has made probably 2 or 3 of the biggest inventions of the last 20 years.
Totally.
The iPod, the iPhone, and something else.
iPad?
Yeah, something like that. Uh-huh. Those are all kind of the same thing, huh?
Yeah. Well, iTunes has changed the game.
Yeah, absolutely.
That first PC, you know, he had the Macintosh and all that shit.
And he goes, he should get rewarded for that.
Of course.
He should make a lot of money for that.
And they're like, he's a dick. Yeah, you got to be a dick to make a fucking Macintosh.
Also, his being a dick has nothing to do with the value of his inventions.
Right.
You know? It's like you have two athletes that are both all-stars, and one's an asshole and one's a super nice guy. Like, who cares? They should get paid the same.
I don't care that Kobe raped.
Yeah.
He made it 3.
Exactly. This is nothing. One is the other. What, you know, this is something here, that's something not.
I hate when people bring in the dick thing. We got it. He's good at what he does.
Yeah, so don't be friends with him.
Yes.
But you can still hire him to do their job.
Cosby, great comic.
Great comic. Well, maybe a long time ago.
Yeah, maybe a long ago. Who's a better example?
Well, that's why he wasn't charged that. So many years ago, because he was still known as a nice guy.
Well, Harvey's movies are good.
Harvey's movies are good.
I'm not saying I'm a fan of him.
Yeah.
I'm saying the movies are good. That's just reality.
He's a great. He produced Lisa Traeger's book.
What?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and when it came out, she was like, She was like, he's done a lot of good things for women. She couldn't wrap her head around just saying, like, yeah, it sucks being associated with
him. Right, right.
She didn't know how to say that. Oh, so she just hilarious. Had to be like, justify it in some way.
Yeah, I mean, Pulp Fiction. Come on.
Oh, so good.
Good Will Hunting.
What are you going to do during all this? What are you thinking?
Well, the lady wants to get a car and hightail it to Cape Cod, where she's from, see the family, get out, change it up a bit. Because we live in a shoebox.
I'm thinking of a cabin somewhere.
There you go. But how do you get a car? Can rent you still one. Rent?
Yeah.
Is that still out?
Rent. No, you can still rent.
Feels like if we're going to shut down everything but a grocery store and a pharmacy, we're not they're not going to just give
on.
You a
No, we're not shutting that down yet. I went, Toyota. I went to the coffee place today. And
so did I, yeah.
Guitar Center's open.
Ooh, Guitar Center.
There's no congregation places.
Right, okay.
But would you be comfortable getting in a car? Are you comfortable getting in an Uber right now?
I did last night.
20 people have been in that Uber today.
Yeah, I'm not thinking clearly. I mean, I'm here. I'm just trying to live like it's...
But it's like, it's not gonna...
Not
like,
happening. Okay,
I get that you don't want to spread it to old people because they're the ones in danger.
I'm keeping away from the geezers.
And we're not really in danger.
True. We got good immune.
One, we're probably not going to get it unless everybody gets it, then we are.
Yeah, and we might have it.
And two, right? And two, we're probably going to survive it.
Yeah.
We're probably going to be the 98% and not the 2%.
Hey.
But
majorities.
You don't want to like get it so that you do pass it on so it does kill an old person. We all have parents, you know?
Yeah.
But so it's like this fear, but also like, meh, you got to live your life a little.
Got to live a little. I think that's even healthy as well. Cooped up, you get angry, you get stressed, stress hurts the immune.
Well, I've beat up my girlfriend a bunch of times already.
Yes. Domestic abuse is going to go way up.
Skyrocket.
Yeah, pregnancies maybe will go up.
No, for sure.
Fucking's free.
For sure.
So let's just kill some time. It's all about killing time.
Yeah. Yeah. What are we going to do to kill time?
I think that you produce, you create.
Are you worried about spending that much time with your lady?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, me too. I started to say, like, look, it's definitely tough. I remember I got snowed in to my eventual roommate's place, University of Maryland.
Yeah.
And I was in the dorms. I went over there to watch college basketball. And then it started snowing, and it was like, you're not getting
it's like a reality show. Yeah. Like, who gets eliminated?
Yeah, and I'm friends with the guy.
Yeah.
A day in was fine. 2 days in is like, hey, I got to find one of your neighbors to stay with him.
2 days?
2 days out
that's,
of three.
That's quick.
The second night, I was like, I was at a neighbor's house.
Come on.
At one of his neighbor's house. I was going to kill him.
Was it chewing? Was it the chewing noises? What
no.
got you? Farting?
You just, certain people you could take in certain doses.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
Yeah.
There's some people like, how are you doing? You know, there's some people like, how are you? All right, fist pound, goodbye.
Right.
You don't want to be snowed in with those people.
No, and New York adds another level because there's no square footage. You know, it's one thing if you go, I'm going to go in the other room, close the door,
yeah,
play some music.
Yeah, you go to Nate's house, you might not see your wife for fucking 3 weeks.
Exactly. He's got a home theater and one of those simulated golf things.
Oh, my God. What a great place to be snowed. He might not even know there's a quarantine.
I don't even have a closet. I'm going, no, I'm fake shitting. I'm in the shower just standing there looking at the conditioner.
Take a longer shower.
Yeah. Like, it's brutal.
Reading the conditioner bottle.
It's really a test of, like, can you get through this?
Yeah.
It's tough, but that's why she wants to fly the coop and head to Cape.
I'm thinking of, like, going up to her aunt has a place in Shelter Island. I was like, maybe we'll go there. And her aunt's like, yeah, we're using it. I'm like, fuck. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
It would be nice to go somewhere where you can't get it.
Right. It'd be nice. They say nature is key. Just no people, trees, oxygen, nature.
Yeah,
no
but
germs.
I wonder, though, if like if you like see, like, let's say you're hiking, right? And you, like, it's going to get nice soon. So you're hiking, you see somebody coming. You're like, I'll go in the woods right. You go in the woods to your right. Let's pass each other far away.
Yeah. That's it. This reminds me of Katrina. After Katrina happened, you know, being a Louisianan.
Oh, yeah.
My parents, for some reason, a year before it, bought a house in Mississippi, like in the woods. We got some money. Let's buy a house in the woods. We never used it. It was weird. It was scary. And everybody and their grandma went to that house in the woods because they were like, fuck it. Can we stay with you? New Orleans was so trashed.
Wow. And there was so much violence there.
Yeah. So everybody got out and they all stayed with my parents.
By the way, I should tell you this. Stand is doing these bottles. You know about that?
Bottles.
They're doing casks with whiskey. There was a whiskey sponsor.
Oh, okay. We'll
do cask, and you get a comedian to have, it's like your name brand whiskey drink. Mm-hmm. They can't do anything with citrus in it because it'll go bad. They cork it up, and they keep it corked for like a month or two.
Okay.
So Old Fashioned is okay. They need someone, and I think it should be you and Sean to Cesarac.
Ooh.
I think it should be you and Song.
I like it.
Put your name on the Cesarec.
I'm down.
You know what I mean? That's like, yeah, that's a New Orleans drink, right? Or one of them.
Born and raised there.
Yeah.
The drink. Invented there, I should
really?
Say. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was thinking over and over again. I couldn't mean to text you guys, but I'm like, you guys should put your name on that cask.
I would love that. It's yeah. not a great drink.
It's not a great drink. But I had it once. I was like, yeah, right, yeah, drink
you
it.
Can have half of one, and then you move
it's
on.
It's really not a great drink.
But hey, you know, it was the 1800s or whatever. You drank whatever. It was moonshine or that.
Yeah. Yeah. What are the slaves making today?
yeah, it's a soul drink. By the way, I love soul food.
Oh, my God, it's good.
It's good. It's horrible for you.
Yeah?
It's like all the fat and all the other shit that no one else would eat.
Chitlins?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, reminds me of Paul Mooney had a bit. He's so racist, but he's like
so racist.
Funny.
So racist.
But he would say how all these like black things ended up being like way better.
Yeah.
So he's like, we weren't allowed to sit with people at shows. They had to go sit in the balcony. And then one day, some white guy was up there going, what? These are the best seats. Black people like, don't tell anybody.
That's funny.
Yeah, shit like that, where it's like black soul food is great.
Yeah, it's really good. Yeah, a lot of black things are good. The music, the
what
the
are
comedy.
They? What are they doing in New Orleans now? Have you talked to your...
What do you mean?
How are they handling it?
Oh, it's weird, man. You're not allowed to go to the French Quarter. Bourbon Street is like a ghost town.
Well, the only... joy of Bourbon Street is congregating.
Of course. It's just a drunk mess with trans and gays and beads and booze, yeah. But it's all clean and quiet. It's wow. Eerie. Disneyland, eerie. Seeing shit like that go blank or go dark is really... That's when I was like, oh, this is real.
Yeah.
This
those
hurts.
Are, those are a different kind of thing.
I was talking to Liz today, and I was like, hey, let me come over to your house. He's like, I'm not ready
yeah,
yet.
Yeah, I told him to come here. He goes, no, I'm not going anywhere outside my neighborhood.
He can't. He can't do it. He's a neurotic guy.
So crazy already.
But yeah, so I was like, wait, why not? He's like, the whole podcast is going to change because our podcast was like travel, heckling, doing the road. What's it like? And like, we can't do that anymore because we're not traveling. We're not doing the road. So we have no Potter. So I was like, oh. And you know, because he thinks long term. He's like, this could be months and months of the pod's
difference.
No,
it could be your day to day thing. Like what I had to do to get a fucking gas mask today or whatever.
Yeah, that's true. But again, that's different. Before it was like, I was in Michigan and this happened. You had some Potter.
True.
I sat next to a fat guy on a flight. He kept farting, whatever. That's all out. Now we got to just riff it up about, I saw a bird.
What's Potter?
That's what we call fodder. We call it Potter.
Interesting.
Podcast fodder.
Okay.
I'm just saying, when you hear shit like that, you're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I look at the Italy footage on the news and I go, oh, crazy Italy. But that could happen here. I mean, it's all
I saw
something. Step Rogan
said, man, he's an alarmist for sure.
Sure.
Like, he loves thinking the worst case scenarios. So yeah. It's tough to talk to him. But he sent this like Twitter thread from this like doctor in Italy. And he goes, you got to do this. You got to do this. Here's what we're dealing with. He goes, and do not think Italy is a third world country.
Exactly.
Italy is first world.
Exactly.
Don't think, oh, of course they are. He goes, that is the same as America and Germany and England.
Yeah, I keep thinking that, like, it's Italy, the Italian weirdos, they catcall, they rape, pasta, whatever. But yeah, you're right. It's right. It's a big, major market.
It's just so eerie.
Eerie!
It's just weird, because you don't see, at least in Katrina, the power's out.
Yes!
Oh, okay, until the power comes back, we're going to do something. There's no villain out.
Yeah, it's invisible.
You don't see anyone getting sick. I don't know anyone who knows anyone who's gotten sick. Well, now that
but
guy.
Now, yeah, we know the bouncer at Gotham.
And it's for sure it's going to happen, but it's like, you want me to feel scared? And it's hard because I just don't see it.
And then, I go, Mom, have you seen anything like this? My mom's a 70-year-old woman. She's like, never. And you're like, oh, that's a little weird. You have no mom advice, you know?
Wow.
Two, Tom Hanks, Idris Elba, the NBA guy, like, what? The elite has it? You know, you usually hear about poor people. Some garbage man died. But it's like, wait, Tom Hanks? How the fuck do we get here? Right. None of it adds up. It's all new. It's all wacky. And then, what do you think about this there, Sloppy Jalopy? Some people like this shit. I think
what
there's a
mean?
Secret group out there who loves this shit. They get all excited. We got to hunker down. We got to stock up. We got to get toilet paper. We got to get food.
Okay,
we got to lock
they
the door.
Succeed now.
Yes,
they could succeed in I'll go to the supermarket again.
This is their time to shine.
Right. Wow, maybe you're right.
And I'm not one of those people. I'm like, I want to get out. Okay, like, you know, just the little things like, we got to cancel this guy. And this is the biggest problem we've ever seen. And gender and black people, Black Lives Matter. And they get all into it, you know. Trump, what are we going to do? I haven't heard a thing about Trump.
I saw some lady on MSNBC who was, you know, they're always anti-Trump and Fox is always pro-Trump. And so they were like, you know, Trump banned all travel from day-to-day changes.
Yeah,
hour changes.
Right.
Trump banned all travel from Europe except the UK. She goes, why except the UK? You fucking idiot. She was like, they have an outbreak there.
Right.
What, you fucking moron. You mishandled from day one. The Trump administration. And I want to be like, lady, this has nothing to do with politics.
Go hug your kids.
Just be like, oh, by the way, we also have to do this. Don't even mention the Trump administration. Just like we should also ban it from there.
I know.
Yeah, go hug your kids.
But that's the thing. I think people like it. People get off on this a little bit. Oh, this is real. We have something to do. It gives them a life. It gives them a personality.
Yeah.
But I'm not one of those people, so I'm just like, can we get through this? And there's no ending.
There's no ending.
It's one thing if a guy goes, I'm going to hold you underwater for 20 seconds, and you're at 14 seconds, you're going, this is brutal, but I got 6 seconds left, I can make it. This could be forever.
Is it 2 weeks? Is it 2 months? Is it 2 years?
Exactly.
Have you done the best case, middle case, worst case scenarios in your head?
No, no. Dude, give it to me.
I do them all the time.
Hit me with it.
Best case, we're down for a week. No big deal. Brings people together. We're fine.
Right.
They're like, hey, guys, you're good to go. We figure out a cure, a vaccine and a shot. If you get it, it'll take care of it.
Best case. Yeah.
Middle case. Hey, this is just a reality. It's not going to kill everybody, but we're gonna kind of get fucked for like, 5 weeks. No one can go out.
Yeah,
you know,
that's middle.
Not very much. You can still pick up delivery food and takeout food, and groceries are still fine. Worst case is not just a curfew, but worst case is like end of all governments. You know what I mean?
Martial law.
Yeah,
tribes.
It never stops. It morphs.
Yeah.
The disease morphs. It gets worse.
Spears and torches.
Yeah, you have a fucking hatchet by your front of your door. You do not go out. It's like, I got to go.
Oh, wow.
You hunker down with your group and you just fucking, you make a camp. Worst case is like everything's done. Eventually, the people who run the power will get it and that'll shut down.
Oh, and then who has a gun? Who doesn't have a gun?
Right.
Oh, man.
I'm not stoked on the worst case.
Not a fan of the worst case. But I remember during Sandy, I lived in the Lower East Side. I was poor. And my power went down for like 7 days, which is a lot when you're broke and you're just sitting there and it's cold in New York. And I remember day one, it was like blackout, can't see anything. And you're like, oh, okay, people are drinking, people are having fun. By day two, all I could hear was kids crying, glass shattering, women screaming. Because you're like, it just goes into pandemic. It just goes into like, oh, shit, we're freaking out. Kill everything, survive. Yeah. And then someone would come up and you'd go walk to Brooklyn and buy a meal.
When did the drug addicts get desperate and just start robbing people?
I didn't think about the heroin addicts.
They got nothing to lose.
They're getting sick. They need a hit.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just like these like second effects.
Right.
Is like,
right.
What's going to happen? Like, we're going to shut down restaurants. You're like, yeah, that's a good idea. Like, oh, waitresses. What are they going to do for money? You're like, oh, I didn't think about that. And you're like, well, all the waitresses now are not going to put money into the economy.
Yep.
So even if you don't suffer from it, you're making 20% less money.
Right.
The waitresses aren't putting money in. And so now I don't have enough money to buy this.
Yeah.
Now ZipRecruiter ain't going to fund. Nobody's building a website now.
No. Yeah, good point.
You know?
Amazon is killing it. See,
Amazon's
it's funny. We
it.
All hated Amazon. They're ruining mom and pop. And now everybody's like, give me 18 deliveries every 10 minutes. I'm freaking out. Toilet paper.
I just saw the first of the two Amazon South Park episodes from last year.
Oh, yeah. Amazon, the delivery guys, they should get a statue in Times Square because they're saving the fucking day.
Uh-huh.
That and grocery workers. But all the waiters should become delivery people.
Mm.
Just because, like, hey, you need some income. This is something anybody can do. Like, you don't need a PhD to be a fucking delivery person. Mm. It's an idea.
Here's a good idea. They'll need more delivery people.
Yeah, and we're going to tip well. They're going to clean up. Yeah, it's tough. Now, what do you think about the whole, don't do this at home, folks, but I watched the top 10 pandemics of all time on YouTube. Just, to keep it with the theme.
What are they? The plague has to be up there.
Plague, and then there's like the black flu, and they all have crazy names, but I'm talking killing millions.
Oh,
millions.
Right. This will not do that, hopefully.
You don't think?
Except worst case scenario, it will.
Well, we're smarter now. We got better communication. Like, there's a zillion smart people right now just playing in it with a test tube.
Well, like the black plague and shit like that. It's like, let's say it's killing Florence.
Okay.
Italy, right? It's killing everybody in Florence.
Yeah.
And people in Milan are just doing their day. They haven't even heard about it. Until one guy travels from Florence to Milan, and then everyone in Milan gets it, but they're like not taking precautions because there's no internet.
Yes.
Now there's like, hey, it's coming. Let's start to prepare.
Right. Yeah, there was no shutdown and all that shit. But they just show these mass graves. They're shoveling people in, and they got bit by a rat, and then the rat was on a boat, and that went to whatever. So Don't watch that. But my point being is, what was
so
my point?
Don't watch that.
Oh. Some people think this is some subconscious kind of world thing that the world does, the earth.
To take care of people, to take care of their numbers down.
Exactly.
Oh, no, I've thought that for a long time.
Yeah.
AIDS, things like that was like.
Gay people.
It's getting to. I don't think it's that. It's like punishment for gays. I think it's overpopulation, always overpopulation.
Yeah.
More people than the earth can, the current technology can support. So they're like, keep the population down a little bit.
Right.
Figure it out.
It's like the planet is fine, that George Carlin bit. It'll fluff us off like bad fleas. Like we don't. They don't. Planet doesn't think about us. They just keep it. It's nature. It's just keeping itself fresh.
Well, it's like, you know how they give out permits for deers because like gotta keep the deer population down. And it's like the world does that on its own.
Yes.
I really think it does.
Oh, completely.
And the shit is that it's like, oh, we'll kill a few off, and it's like it might. It's not an exact number.
Yeah.
So it might be 20 times too much, or it might be 5% too little.
Right.
But like, it's gonna keep us coming down a little bit.
Oh yeah. Now, here's another thing to consider. Pollution has got to be way down.
I heard in Wuhan you can breathe clearly now.
Whoa. See, that could be another
all
thing
the
Earth was doing.
Shut down.
Interesting.
I heard
factories,
somebody say
cars.
this is a way to get rid of, it's because all the old people, right? And it's like you keep polluting. The old people don't, like, oh, we don't have to change. And the world's like, all right, I'm going to kill you guys off.
Ooh.
You better fucking change your climate situations.
Damn. Breathe that air, that fresh corona air.
Yeah, man.
Remember swine flu? I didn't bat an eye. Bird flu or SARS.
That's what I thought about this one at first.
Same.
I was like, same thing with swine flu and bird flu and H1N1 and fucking all of them and the BP oil spill.
Didn't bat an eye. I farted in the wind. I didn't care. I'd say, give me that SARS. I'll breathe it in. Blow me.
Because they're always like, no, this one's worse. I'm like, you say that every time.
Yeah. And then here we are.
But again, I still haven't really felt it. Other than, like, the reaction. I felt the reaction. I haven't felt the disease.
Well, hopefully you won't.
I mean, like, it hasn't been like, did your list got it? It's like, no one I know.
Yeah.
And the people who do get it pretty much all survive.
True.
So, like, that's what I mean by, like, I haven't felt it.
Yeah, and 86 deaths in America, which is pretty low.
I have felt, which is nothing.
Nothing but, we're just precautions.
Right. And you don't want some old person dying because you got it and transferred to someone. All I had was a cold, but still somebody in fucking Arkansas.
Right.
Because contact, they died. I don't want that.
They call us vectors.
Vectors.
We just get it, give it to someone else, but we don't die.
Wow.
Much like herpes.
Yeah, right.
Just give it to someone else.
I only have it on my lips, herpes.
Oh, you do have that?
No. It's just like I'm a carrier. So every time, nothing happens to me, but every time I go down on a girl, she gets a huge outbreak of herpes.
Is that right?
No.
Oh, jeez, man. Well, I don't know. That was terrifying. What? I've never seen you have a bliss.
No, I don't have any.
Ignorance is a blister.
Do you ever think you were immune?
Yeah, I remember getting blown in high school, and a girl had a huge one. And I remember being like, how often am I getting blown? I got to take it. I'll take the chance. And I never got it.
And you're like, I'm immune to it.
Yeah. They say we all have it in us, kind of, or something. I don't know.
God. It's going to be a weird thing, man.
Yeah, hopefully we all look back on this in July and go, woo, wild times.
Remember that? Yeah. I really do think, I mean, I'm going to do a bunch of podcasts.
You're goddamn right.
You'll move somewhat ahead in some way. I can't go to, I was going to go to Kenya and go work on a farm.
That's out. You'll get AIDS.
Yeah. And the sex workers are like, oh, don't cough on me. I'll take your herpes, but don't cough on me. You know?
Magic Johnson's still alive. Well, I guess so is Idris.
I saw somebody tweet, maybe it was Tripoli. It was like, can we stop giving the tests out to celebrities who've shown no symptoms?
Yeah.
can we?
We need like,
save it for people who actually are showing symptoms.
Right.
But celebrities will always get it over.
Of course. There are royalty. But yeah, we like, it's scary because you can't get tested unless you have the symptoms.
Really? You can't be like, I just shook hands with a guy who has it. They're like, nah.
No, you got to be showing.
Dude, and everyone's mad. They're like, we're underprepared. How could you not prepare for this? And it's like, who would prepare? It just came up like no time ago.
I know. And you don't
show think we had fucking, whatever this is, coronavirus tests ready to go?
Exactly. We want them, though. We want those tests.
This lady was like, well, why wasn't eating bat and pangolin illegal? That's fucking ridiculous. And I was like,
In my head, I was like, oh, I saw people eating bat in Thailand and Cambodia like
3 years really?
Ago. Yeah, it was bat and a stick.
Huh.
Didn't think, oh, it's going to be a massive epidemic.
Right, of course.
I just thought, ew.
Yeah. Everything's illegal. It still gets done. It's, anal is illegal in Oklahoma or something, and people still fucking the ass.
That's right.
True story.
A drugs.
But the corona bat is the new AIDS monkey.
Yeah.
It's been replaced.
It'd be good, nice to win that at a carnival this summer. The corona bat. Stuffed corona bat.
Big Halloween costume.
Oh, yeah. Corona bat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some of those aardvarks.
Or Tom Hanks, like, you know.
No, it's not Philadelphia Hanks. It's Corona Hanks.
Yeah. He's got a movie coming out, too, and I think this will be big press.
Oh, I'm sure. People know more about him than ever.
Yeah. Scary, man.
Dude, it's just weird.
It really is. It really is strange. It's unlike anything we've done. Unprecedented.
I was thinking of going to a cabin or something, too, just like for like a week or a month or something like that, or 2 weeks. But then I'm like, where will I get food? Like, I live close to supermarkets in Manhattan.
Yeah. You'd have to bring it with you, but that's...
But how much?
Yeah, exactly. You have to fill a trunk up, I guess. And then do you bring your lady or no?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you should, because you'd go mad. Alone.
You'd go mad, and also, like, it's a tough relationship recovery when you come back a month later and be like, sorry about that. I kind of had to go by myself.
Yeah. Yeah, did you get it?
Did you get it? Oh, you're good? No, I was praying for you.
Yeah. Yeah, I've already eaten through half my groceries. I don't know what to do. Yeah. Trying to stay paz.
Yeah, that's a key. Have you noticed people being more social in New York?
Well, there's the distancing, so it's hard to say. But I think people are, we're all in the same boat.
We're all in the same boat. This brought us together. And yeah. I wasn't here for 9/11. You were or no?
No, I wish I was. I was not.
I was here for the eclipse. And that made a lot of, since it was over like 3 hours and everyone had their own, like, I have my thing, I'm not sharing.
Yeah.
And after like 20 minutes, like, hey, you want to use my thing?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it did make me like, oh, how's it going? It's like, you look at, oh, cool.
Right.
It kind of brought people together with this shared experience.
Totally. I think we're all, deep down, we're all good and we're all social creatures.
We're just told not to be through this city.
Yeah, kind of.
But we are deep down. You're right. We like do need some like.
Well, we've been burned so many times. Like, hey, man, you're like, oh, what's up? And they go, can I get $10? And you're like, oh, I thought you wanted to talk and hang out.
I thought you were a human.
My money. Yeah. So we've been burned with that so many times. But I think when these events happen, that gets pushed away and we actually go back to being
I love
human.
In New York when you pass somebody. I've been doing the thing all year last year before the Astros cheated. But I was like, it's our year. Every time I saw a Yankees hat, I'm like, it's our year. And I see people like tense up and keep walking. And then it sunk in what I was saying. And they're like, and then like, oh, yes. It's right, man.
Right.
And they keep
right.
walking. But like, oh, that's, they don't want anything from me.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so true.
I've seen people in my elevator, people when I'm at stores or something like that. I'm like, you guys shutting down? They're like, no, I don't think so. I'm like, staying strong. It's just like, there's a little more talking about
yes,
this thing.
Yes, yes, you're right. Know? I was at Starbucks today, and the guy was getting his coffee, and it's like a young black woman and a fat white guy, and they're just, how you doing? Good, good. What are you going to do? I stocked up on groceries. After this, we're closed. It was nice. Right. There's no black,
there's
white.
There's no race anymore.
Yeah, well, this white privilege isn't helping us.
What's Yamanika going to do? She's got nothing to talk about. Yeah, there's no privilege here.
No, no. I mean, Tom Hanks, the most privileged honky on the planet, is infected.
God.
Trudeau's wife got it.
Really?
Yeah.
Gary Trudeau from Doonesbury?
the lady banging the blackface guy.
Yeah. Dude, I love that blackface thing. Because remember that lady on Fox News who was like, she didn't even.
Megyn Kelly.
She just said, she didn't do it. She goes, when I was young.
I know.
I saw other people doing it. It seemed normal. I was like, fuck you. It ain't normal. And the Trudeau, this liberal fucking, you know, hellcat, this liberal, like, this trophy case. They're like, oh, I fully did it. People are like, no, keep my mouth shut.
And we have photos of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. It's funny. It's almost like sports. Like, you know when you get a bad call on your team, but
this
it helps you?
Sucks. Yeah, right, right. You know, oh, right,
like,
right. When it helps
you're like,
you.
Oh, it's fine. And the other team's like, what? Are you crazy? He was over the line. You're
no,
like, ah,
he wasn't.
Shut up.
No, he
it's
wasn't.
Fine.
That happens all the time.
Yeah, it's the same thing. Yeah, Megyn Kelly. She's a looker.
Yeah. What businesses, what industries do you think are going to fucking collapse after this?
Ooh.
There's going to be a lot of comedians who are no longer able to afford being broke.
I'm so lucky. I have a nest egg to sit on. Yeah, and we have a pod that people listen to already. Yeah. Comedians are going to have features who are living paycheck to paycheck, doing the road where you kind of break even almost because of the travel and everything. That's,
yeah.
They're fucked.
But it's not like
Can you get unemployment, or is that out?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's something. Yeah. That's hope.
It'll devalue the dollar, though.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, 100 million people on unemployment, and they're just printing money. That means your dollar is worth 70 cents.
Right.
So I guess inflation, I don't really understand all this, but I guess inflation will start soon.
Yeah.
Oof. They're like, Fed's cut interest rates. I'm like, good. And then I'm like, one, I don't know what that means.
I don't
Two, I don't think it affects me.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not taking out loans, so.
And people are like, you got to buy stocks. It's all down. I'm like, I don't know what to buy. Teach me. Help me. I'm fucking clueless.
Vitor said Live Nation.
Why?
Because they're way down in the last like 2 weeks because no live shows. He goes, their CEO bought $1 million of their own stock.
Hmm.
Because they're like, once live shows are back on, they'll be back up.
Is that right?
That's what Vitor said.
Well, he's a smart little cookie.
He said, wait till it goes to 10. It was at 75. He goes, even if it goes back to 50, he goes, put 5,000 in. We make a cool 20 grand.
What? Where'd you guys do it? Do you have a meeting here?
Text. Jew text.
Jew text.
Yeah.
Man. All right.
It's not the blue dots. It's the green bubbles.
For money.
Oh, really?
Doesn't work on Saturday. All right, I'm down. I'll do live, Nate. You want to do it? I'll put in 5 G's if you do.
Okay.
Could be fun.
Could be fun. And watch a stock go.
We can watch it. We can talk about it on this.
Yeah.
All right. Live Nation.
We're also going to start so I have all these ideas for podcasts. We're going to start one. I'll announce it later, actually. But nobody's announced it yet.
Ooh.
Me, Soder, and Jay are going to do one.
Oh, nice.
I'll tell you afterwards. You can join in here or there.
Is it here?
Probably, yeah.
All right.
I might do some Skype also. Becky, get Skype going.
Is that going to be Corona themed or different?
Not Corona themed, but shut in themed.
Shut in theme. I like it.
Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do.
All right.
Because you can say it on Bonfire today because we did a pre-record yesterday. We're going to watch a series that we haven't watched. And
it's almost like a book club.
A book club and talk about it. So you join in with us. And like every like 4 days, we're going to be like, next episode. We thought of doing Sex and the City. We thought that'd be the perfect one. Ian Fidance. For the last year, has a
homo.
Watch every episode of Sex and the City and talk about each episode.
Wow.
He's never seen any. His co-host has seen all of them. And we're like, oh, that was the perfect one. Jay called it Stuck in the City.
That's perfect.
Yeah. I said we should get 3 more comments and call it Six in the City. Cool name, but Stuck in the City is better.
Yeah, and you got to have 6 guys.
It won't work. But Finance has it.
What about like Ugly Betty or something like that? You know, some chick show.
Right now, we're going down between a few different shows.
Gilmore Girls.
Gilmore Girls.
Ah!
The original 90210.
Ooh.
People will remember. They don't have to join in. They can be like, oh, yeah, I remember that episode.
Nostalgia.
Estelle Getty.
Golden Girls.
Golden Girls.
Good one.
Nice one.
Good one. Cult following.
We're just thinking of like, he said Lost. I'm like, we've seen Lost.
Oh, I got it.
What?
Although it's kind of been done maybe, but The Bachelor could be huge. Because you guys could talk about all the girls, and it has like a competition factor.
Oh, all the old episodes.
Yeah.
Could be. That's not about a reality show.
Yeah, yeah.
And
people know that one. So really you guys talking about that would really be hilarious.
Yeah, and we definitely haven't seen it. We don't know who's going to win.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's just like, I think she's going to win. Everyone's like, you're way wrong.
Yeah.
She's out next episode. So yeah, we're going to do that. I don't know.
I was
before the Ian Finance had that. I was like, I looked up like 94 episodes of Sex and the City, 94 plus 2 movies. We're good to go for a year.
Oh God, yeah, perfect.
This is a 1 year shut in fucking podcast.
By the way, where do you stand on the Sarah Jessica Parr physical attraction level?
Look, man, I think everyone's free. Do whatever you want. That's a disgusting, ugly bitch.
Come on, I think she's smoking.
The only time she was okay was in L.A. Story.
So hot in L.A. Story.
Only her youth. Her youth was the only thing got her up above a couple points.
Unbelievable body.
Thin. Not unbelievable
Bobby's
body.
She's got nice Selma cans.
Selma Hayek has an unbelievable body.
All right. I love her too. But
nice cans or just like okay cans?
I think she's got some nice cans. Nah. She auditioned for Dirty Dancing, by the way.
Yeah. So to a lot of ugly bitches who didn't get it.
But I'm telling you, man, she's got an interesting face. She's hot. She's got a great bod. She's got cool hair. She's fun. She's cool. I like her.
Ah, cool. We're not talking about that. We're not talking about that.
I'm just saying.
You know better than to talk about that when you're rating someone.
I'll give you that, but I think she's hot. I think she's got a nice face.
I know some people do, and I just don't get it.
I think she's – I mean, Sex and the City, she's the lead. She's the hot one.
Jerry Seinfeld's the lead. He's not hot.
Well, that's a dude. He's funny. She's not.
The black hair girl was the hottest one.
And
she was Posh Spice.
Too goody-goody.
Yeah. And then honestly, I mean, the redhead was disgusting.
Oh, yeah, that's a
problem. Everyone agrees on
that. And then the other one was hot because she was so hoary.
Hoary, yeah.
Which is hot. But I like the SJP.
I think she's third on that show, and not even. I wouldn't even. If she was like coming on to me at a bar, I'd be like, I gotta go.
If you saw her in person in the 90s, I think you'd be like, this is an interesting, hot little lady here.
Disagree.
All right.
I think I'd be like, I would get in trouble for making fun of her for her looks.
Who told this horse face she could join our convo? Now, horse wait.
Face, yeah.
Now, who's a gal that you like that you're kind of like, it's a guilty
no one else
pledge?
Did to?
Yeah.
PJ Harvey.
PJ Harvey? Who the hell's that guy?
It's a woman. She's a singer.
PJ Harvey?
I got to call
Pull her up.
Pull her up.
Give it a goog, Beck.
You got your phone on you? Mine's over there. Hold on.
I got no thumb. All right. Ari's going there to get the phone. We're going to see this PJ Harvey trash.
Oh, yeah, dude. Her nose is massive.
Oh, I like it. See, I like a honker.
You like a honker.
I want to see this fucking pig you're about to pull up.
She was such PJ a good Harvey. Singer and musician in like the 90s.
Is
late
it
'90s
punk band?
No, PJ Harvey's like Polly Jean Harvey. She's a woman.
Okay,
but her nose was so fucking big. But she was so hot because she did do up in the cave. Here she is. This is a good fucking version of it.
Oh no! What are you doing to me? She looks like a virus. She looks like Corona. That is rough, man. I mean, she looks like the Scream mask.
'90s PJ Harvey. Here we go. '90s PJ Harvey. There we go. That's what you're talking about.
Oh!
That was so hot to me. But I know exactly what you're saying.
She looks like Marilyn Manson.
I mean, sort of, right?
Yeah. I mean, I can see she's got like the grungy 90s bullshit, but I don't know, man.
Yeah.
I would go down on her, but I'm just saying. That's interesting. Everybody's got their secret crush.
I mean, she was talented. That's the thing. Her talent, maybe.
Well, hey, now you're factoring other shit in.
I know. It's
but
not cool.
I thought, when I was a kid, I thought Tori Spelling was hot. And she looks like a fucking mule.
It's weird, because when we were younger, you thought a lot of people were hot just because they were, like, on TV, right?
Yeah.
You see them now, looking back. Like, anyone in like, early 80s, you're like, ew.
Right, right.
Vanna White?
Oh, so hot.
No.
I mean, as a kid, you're
right,
like,
right.
She's
right.
The only woman on the show. It's Pat Sajak, right. A wheel, and some
and
soccer
she had this
mom.
Nice gown. But like, you look back now at the old ones, you're like, oh, she's just fine. She's not TV hot.
Right, right. Yeah, that's true. That happens a lot. You just
who
see
was the hot
movie.
Chick from WKRP in Cincinnati?
I don't know. You're showing your age here.
She was also in a lot of, it was reruns. She was also in a lot of Burt Reynolds movies.
Lonnie Anderson.
Not that hot.
Not that hot, but on the show, you're
like wow. Yeah.
It's true. Interesting. Yeah. Now I'm trying to think of who I was into. Alyssa Milano. I was
Dude,
into you look
she
back.
She was hot then, and she's hot now.
I like Alyssa. I'm with you on Alyssa. I'm a fan.
I saw her at the Improv.
Really?
14 years ago.
Pre-crazy. Because she's fucking wacko now.
Yeah, back when she was just a big Dodger fan.
Okay, well, that's crazy.
She got
too.
So when Twitter started, it hurt a lot of people. Twitter.
Oh yeah, it showed the true anal.
Yeah, but some people were just like, oh, I caught on, and then some people love that they caught on and started playing to it, and that's when they turned crazy.
Of course, yeah, it gets addictive.
She might have done that, but before she was like just a big Dodger fan, and she had like one cause, and people were, like into it, and she goes, let me have all causes now.
Yeah,
and it's like
yeah.
I haven't even thought this out. But I saw her at the Improv, didn't know who she was. I saw her, and she was probably like 35, 37. You know,
yeah.
Not like a young. Whatever. And I was like, God damn, who's that chick? She's so fucking hot. Somebody said Alyssa Milano. I was like, what? No. I was like, oh my God, you're right. But before I realized who it was, she was hot as fuck. Woman
really?
In her upper 30s was hot as fuck.
Interesting.
In LA.
When
anything over 27 is get the fuck out of here. Wow. Dig yourself a human grave.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
And what is she, like 5'4", you think?
She's all right. I don't know how big she is. She's normal size.
Okay.
5'5".
Interesting.
Like
Alyssa Milano in person, hot.
Christina Ricci always found hot.
I'm with you. I love that big old five head. Huge noggin on her. But she was hot.
I met her.
Really?
When she was dating Owen Benjamin.
Ah.
She
again,
came
another
she goes,
guy.
Here's my friend Christina. I was like, oh, what's your name again? Christina? Nice to meet you. She was so hot. We couldn't believe we were meeting her.
Yeah. Wednesday Addams.
Yeah.
And she was hot in Black Snake Moan. Remember she had like a tank top on and like underwear the whole movie?
Sweaty.
Oh, so hot.
I just want to fuck everything. He goes, I'm tying you up, girl. You ain't fucking nothing.
That was a weird movie.
That really was.
I was working at Blockbuster when that came out. I just remember staring at the cover like, oh, yeah.
You worked at Blockbuster?
Yeah. I thought, oh, I love movies. I'm a movie fan. It'll be like working at a library. It was the worst
Tarantino.
Job ever.
Why?
Just because it's just alphabetizing. That's the whole job. You just got to, the shit comes through the slot. You stack them up. You walk down. I was like, I'm going to be watching movies. I'm going to be talking about movies. I'm going to be in movies. And, you know, it's like working at a comedy club, tearing tickets. You're like, oh, I'm not part of this.
I think Tarantino worked at an independent movie theater.
And he took 10 movies home a day and watched them. And he wasn't
getting
laid
them all day long. Yeah. Kind of like Clerks, the guy next door Clerks. Right. He was just like, we're just watching shit, doing nothing.
That's the romanticizing I was doing. But it was like, this sucks. I'm wearing a blue polo. I'm getting yelled at by an old lady who's buying Milk Duds. The whole thing sucked. She's like, Where's Bambi 2? Where's Aristocats? You're like, ah, shit. What am
like,
I doing here?
Bitch.
Yeah.
Man.
And then Netflix came in and just...
Remember when Netflix was drop shipping?
Yes. Yes, the CDs or the DVDs.
They buried Blockbuster's drop shipping. Or no, they did block shipped, and then Blockbuster was like, we'll do drop shipping also.
Yeah, that was their last attempt.
And then Netflix was like, oh, we're done with that. We already buried both your things. We're moving on to this other thing.
Yeah.
Blockbuster was like, well, we can... It's like, guys, it's too late.
It's over.
Just sell your space.
I know. That was big, man. Netflix coming in like that. It was in your home. You
didn't
because
Blockbuster killed the mom and pop, video store.
Isn't that funny? Oh, just another guy comes in and kills you, and then somebody will kill Netflix. Isn't that crazy to
think
about?
No, but that's not fair because what?
That's the dog-eat-dog, bitch.
Yeah. Speaking of dog-eat-dog, Mark Norman has a podcast called Tuesdays with Stories. It's on iTunes. His co-host is named Joe List.
He's been on this podcast
a couple times too.
He might have corona.
He might have corona right now.
So help us out. Get on the Patreon, buy a shirt, live, laugh, queef, and I would say see us live, but Jesus, we were going to do Vegas together, we're going to do Moon Tower together, we're going to do Skanks together, and it's all kaput.
I got this thing. I got to get a different one that's white so it shows better. But it was going to be just for the comedians to show their dates. So every time we see a clip, your fucking dates are right there.
Yeah.
And if it was white, we might have to get a white one. If it's white, you could probably, well, I don't know if you can go Photoshop like other dates on top of it. If it's like 6 months later, you know. But anyway, the point is, as people see it, like, you don't have to say, like, what's your date? It's just there the whole time.
Love it.
And
genius.
Then we saw it. We're like, thank you.
Business Jew.
And we're like, oh, there's no more dates.
Yeah.
So I guess here's your website.
I'll take it. Yeah. You know what's scary is in these times of strife or whatever the hell, two things always go up. Booze and entertainment. Like when everything, when we're in a depression or recession.
Go up in popularity or like, in price?
Like skyrocket business-wise.
Right.
Because everybody's like, well, shit, we need a laugh and we need a drink.
Love, laugh, learn. Yeah.
And now, entertainment is going down.
Live
entertainment.
It's live a weird one. It's a weird one. You're right.
That's never
because
happened.
Because we can't go out. We turn to, like, in the Holocaust and, like, every World War One, you turn to entertainment to like get us through this, help us through this with the way you laugh, point a finger at society. This is why I hated all the fucking angry. It's tough to even talk about because it's all gone now. With angry, like you can't say this, you can't say that. It's like guys, we're trying to shine a light on the fucking.
I know.
You're telling us we're doing it wrong. Get out of here.
I know. It was so feelings based. Louis made a joke about school shooting. Yeah, that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah,
that's what we
take do. It seriously.
Yeah. You know what was the funniest thing with the whole wokey thing was when they started going about Carlin. Look at this, you guys. Look at Carlin. He was talking about all this good shit. I'm like, are you kidding? You're going to tote your wagon to Carlin? This guy was doing racial slurs. He has the N-word in a special. He calls Richard Pryor and Eddie Murphy the N-word.
That's not part of the clip they saw.
Exactly.
Yeah, they don't know his whole work.
Motherfucker, cunt. He's like, what do you call a feminist? A cum catcher. I mean, he was the craziest.
Wow.
And they're like, hey, he's our guy. Look at him. He was all on the right side. I'm like, yeah, he was on the right side, but he also said the N-word.
Oh, he has this quote. It's like, I think it's a comedian's job to intentionally step over the line.
Yes.
And all these comics like have that as a quote on their Instagram or something like that. And then when some comic does step over the line, they're like, how do you do that?
I know.
Oh, idiots.
I know.
We're trying to push the fucking line back.
Yeah, and it was scary when comics are the ones pitching.
Oh, my God.
Like, what are you doing? You're one of us, I thought.
What are you doing?
What are you doing? And we're not bad people. They're like, what are you this? What are you that? I'm like, no, I'm making a joke.
Also, we didn't do anything. There was no actions.
Right, there were.
You're saying we said something weird.
Right.
That you didn't overhear, by the way. We intentionally put it out there.
I know. I had a fun moment at the Cellar on Sunday. I did my last set, and I said a joke about Kobe, and it got like a whoa, and I'm like, guys, there's a life-eating virus out right now, and you're worried about these words.
You're worried about a celebrity getting offended who's dead, by the way.
Exactly. And they were like, all right. It was a fun moment.
I love the moment, and these are the moments that those people, those like, woke comics or whatever, like, I'll call them light comics because they're not really that hard-hitting.
Sure.
What they never get is when you get people angry at you because of words, and then you turn them
back.
Ooh,
that's a nice
moment.
That
moment when you turn them back is like when they're like, good point. When you're like,
yeah,
they'll never experience that joy.
Good point. That's art.
And walking the line, and like when you're like a football player and you're like almost out of bounds, and you somehow manage to keep back in.
Yeah,
you're like,
how
did you keep back? It's
right.
Like, wow.
And stop telling me I'm out of bounds when I'm going to walk the line.
I'm not done yet.
Yeah. Exactly. Good way to put it. Yeah. But well, now
it's all done now. Let's not even talk about it. You're right.
We're bitching about shit that's not
over.
Even happening anymore.
Yeah.
So now we're annoying.
Yeah. We're the problem. You're right. You're right.
Moving on.
What else? What should we talk about with the fucking virus and all the situations happening? I want to get another beer.
I'd love another beer if you're buying.
I was going to say your dates while I'm gone.
I didn't know. Can I say I didn't know you were doing this well? I'm blown away. I'm a little intimidated. I'm a little nervous. I'm a little thrown off. This is insane, man. I mean, I've seen your gigs. You sell out. You do well. Your podcast does well. But buying your own studio is really impressive. And you got fucking beer wherever you want.
I just
it.
Don't flaunt it.
You really don't.
No.
But you're doing it right now. And it's
dude, I didn't
very
have to film
sexy.
A special. I have $170,000 extra dollars.
Wow.
I was going to pay for that myself. Now I have all that money. So it's like stored into this.
Oh, that's how you look at it. That's going to run out, by the way.
For sure.
Okay.
But my feeling is always, it's always been this. I am.
Need
like,
an opener?
In my deepest depression, I got one because I got limes over there. In my deepest depression or whatever, I'm like, look, I want to kill myself, you know? But, like, I'm still a comic. Let's have some fun. And it's like, you just go until all the money runs out, and then you kill yourself.
Hear, hear.
So it's like, I'm not going to do this thing like, oh, I got to, like, save money for this. I'm not going to spend it like crazy. But, like, I'll spend it on the fucking art form.
Yeah.
You know, and do shit like this.
I respect
that.
And
then it's like, it'll keep going for a while, and I'm not going to take anybody's into account. Like, if you say that joke, that might hurt your business. I'm like, I ain't doing that. I'm just running my way.
Good for
until
you.
Until it's all done. And when it's all done, it's like, whatever, we'll see. Maybe I'll work at Walmart. Maybe I won't want to kill myself. I'll just work at Walmart. But it's like, I'll have a great 40-year run or 20. It's already been 20 years.
Yeah.
And it's like, what, should I do it their way?
I like that about you. I think that's why people cling to you is because of that attitude. Because
they know they're getting my shit.
Yeah.
Not like a version of my shit.
Well, that and you just live by the seat of your Torah, you know, like Charlie Sheen. Remember when he had that meltdown? He was like, I'm fucking whores. I'm fucking prostitutes.
People
like,
right.
I might have AIDS. I'm doing blow. I got tiger blood. I'm
Stay
winning.
Honest.
And everybody in their cubicle was going, damn, you watching this shit? Holy fuck.
Sounds great.
This guy from 2.5 Men is fucking just doing whatever he wants. He's riding the rails. And we all loved it. And I think there's a little of that watching you. He's just like, this guy's in Kenya. This guy's going gay now. He's on Rogan. Now he's drugging Bert. Now he's got a Kobe thing up his ass. He's on TMZ. He's the most hated man in America. Oh, now he's in China. He's got a flip phone. I can't tell how old he is. Is he 41? Is he 78? What's going on? He just bought a podcast studio. His shirt's off. He's skiing in Aspen. You're an enigma wrapped in an egg. N-word. It's fascinating. It's fun to watch because, you know, I think most of society, thank you, sir, is pretty just, it's all about stability. All right, I got my benefits. I got dental. My wife's here.
Oh,
she's gaining weight, but fuck it. My kids are gay.
Did you,
you
see
know?
Any of the Colin shows? Did you see the last one, Red State, Blue State?
I saw it live.
Yeah, me too. And he goes, the one joke I remember all the time, it's like, I forget what the setup was, but it's like, oh yeah, that's why I got into comedy, to fit into cultural norms. How did it go?
Oh, we got to pull that quote up. It's so good.
It's so good.
That's why I got into comedy, to comply to society's norms or something like that.
He rolled his eyes and it's like, yeah, guys, we did this to fucking tweak the bear.
Yes.
And they're like, how could you tweak the bear? I'm like, have you not seen my entire career?
Right.
That's all I do.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
This bear like saw me.
Exactly.
Yeah, you guys are crazy.
I'm with you. And that's, I bet you have that essence in you of like, yeah, we're rocking the boat here. Why not? And you, more than most, I think most comics, we talk a big game, but we go home and we read the tweets. We go, that hurts my feelings. These comments are negative. Wah. But you kind of go, everybody hates me. I'm on TMZ. I'm public enemy number one. But let's see where this goes.
Yeah, Miss Pat was like, how you doing the other day? And I was like, I'm good. She goes, is it past all this whatever? I was like, yeah. She goes, what's the matter? I'm like, kind of like being the center of attention, Pat.
Ah.
When it goes away, I feel like, oh.
Even if it's negative, you're
no
on
one's
board.
Talking about me.
Yeah, you're Barnum
I like when
Bailey.
People talk about me.
Right. That's true. But see, a lot of guys couldn't handle it.
You have to look at their anger as a win.
Interesting. See, I'm not there yet. I'm getting there.
Well, I remember talking to Eleanor Kerrigan, you know her, right? Dice's old girlfriend.
Yeah, yeah, she's great.
And she got mad. She did Vegas, and some people walked out. And she's an offensive comic, just like you or I are.
She's dirty. You know?
And some people walked out, and she was like, how could they walk out? I didn't even mean that. That's a lot of comics do. I didn't even mean that. I meant this, you know?
Right.
It's like you're just hearing the words, but not the meaning. And I was like, Eleanor, you're offensive. Like,
it happens.
You need people walking out.
Uh-huh.
The only reason the 88 people who stayed are enjoying it is because those six people walked out.
Right.
Because they're like, ooh, it's dangerous.
Interesting.
Otherwise, it's not offensive at all. You're doing a joke about lollipops. No one's going to walk out.
Right.
You want people being angry so the people who are staying there can be like, this is awesome.
Right, right.
Or like,
yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's interesting.
I don't know.
It's true. No, you're right. Because if you try to please them all, you're just going to have some vanilla horseshit.
Yeah. Even that's what Dice told us a long time ago. You don't want everybody liking you.
Right.
You want everybody either hating you or loving you. And then everybody's talking about you.
Yeah, yeah. And boy, do the people hate him.
Boy, do they hate him.
Yeah, but then he did The Garden. You know, he's one of the few comics. There was like a handful of comics back then who did The Garden.
Nobody
and he was
did
one
The
of
Garden
them.
Back then.
It was like, you know, Steve Martin or something.
Did he even? I thought Steve Martin did like 5,000 seaters.
Yeah, he got out of it. But
I thought it was Dice and then no one till Dane Cook.
Is that right?
I that's what I remember.
Eddie Murphy? No.
No, I think he also did 5,000 seaters. He could do it now.
Yeah, totally. Now everybody's done. Now it's like Louis, Burr, the Impractical Jokers. Yeah, Sebastian and Schumer. Yeah, all these people who were huge comics. But yeah, I guess you're right. People hated Dice, like the feminist groups.
I mean, SNL.
SNL hated him? I don't know anything. I'm not a huge Dice guy. Like, I get it, but he's not my cup of jizz. I like, I feel like he was all attitude. It wasn't a lot of substance.
Yeah.
For but
sure.
I get
like,
it.
He was like, can you believe he's saying this word? So yes. I remember him when I was in sleepaway camp. That's when he came out. We're like, what the f-? We never heard anything like that. You were younger than me, so you were like, we've already heard those words.
I guess
so. It lost
so.
Effect. It was all like going against the grain.
Right.
So those things don't as much.
But that's not enough for me, no matter what.
Right, right, right.
You know, even Carlin was going against the grain, but I'm like, he has got some big ideas on
dude,
big shit.
I heard his, I've got a record.
Or prior.
Player. You told me actually where to get one. I went around the East Village and got one.
Yeah.
And, I've been finding records. I found an old Carlin album with the seven dirty words on it.
Yeah.
Did I tell you this?
No.
It's the last track of the second side. The first side and all the tracks before Seven Dirty Words are terrible.
He's got a lot of shit out
Class
there.
Class Clown is the album.
Yes.
It's awful. Well, it's like, remember this? And he just
I
does
know,
that sound.
I know.
He goes, remember this? Do you remember doing this to your substitute? And it's like, does that, it's not even, and then it was like, 35 minutes of just like, what are we even doing here? And then destruction, well-written, fucking
yeah,
deep-seated
yeah.
joke.
Totally. Well, he was finding himself and all that, and that broke him. He was like,
oh, really?
A young working comic. He was doing okay, but he was, after that, it was like, oh, it was like the Bill Burr Philly rant.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was a working comic, funny, everybody liked him, but he wasn't a name. And after that, that was his name.
Wow, interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I met him once.
That's what breaks comedy. That's why it's so weird when everybody's like, this is
play
appalling.
Play it safe.
Yeah, play it safe. What are you kidding? You got to please everybody. Like, nah, comedy's about saying crazy shit. It's about being funny.
Those people are like at a home run derby, they're like, hit some singles. You want to hit for average here.
Yeah,
like, get
yeah.
out of here.
But yeah, Reggie Jackson said, yeah, you ain't nobody till somebody hates you.
Really?
Yeah. And he's just a fucking baseball player.
Yeah, I love it. It's tough in moments to be like, ooh, they are really coming after me. But you just have to like breathe and be like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, this is what I wanted.
Really?
You just got to like breathe sometimes because everyone, and then when comics are like, you didn't want this, did you? You're like, I guess not. Like, well, no, wait. No, I did.
The Kobe one was big, but at least you were doing a joke. But what about the Chris Rock? That had to sting a little.
Well, I don't really. We had a fight.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I was wrong on that one.
Okay. So that's the thing is, I think people go, can you believe Ari did this? I'm like, well, that's going to happen. If he's this guy, you're going to step on the wrong block sometimes.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. you're walking a tightrope, and every now and then your foot's going to miss.
Yeah, I'm wrong to say anything about someone in the press when I could, like, I just forgot. It's podcast. It's tough to remember that you're in the, not the press, but public.
Yeah, yeah.
When I could just be like, I could just find that person and tell them personally.
Because the Howard Stern was so great.
But I never had access to Howard Stern. So it's like, I'll just go around on Howard Stern.
Right,
it's like, I didn't think I was wrong on that in any way.
Yeah, yeah.
It was just some celebrity I'd never met and never will meet and just call him an old man who's fucking... You know what I really went
but
off
you were
on
right on that
I
one.
I was dead right. But it wasn't even about the podcast with Stern. With Stern, it was about, first, that he loved fucking... What's that? American Shooter? What was that movie?
American Shooter?
It was so bad.
With Marky Mark?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was horrible.
Yeah. And it was like, it was so bad. He was like, I loved it. And he was like,
well, he also loved American Idol or whatever.
Clint Eastwood loved it. I'm like, yeah, why don't you guys go to an old man camp and suck each other's wrinkled old dicks?
Yeah.
You have no, it's like, it was just bad. It was a badly shot movie.
It was a horrible
like,
movie.
He was a hero. I'm like, what does that have to do with how bad a movie it was?
Oh, American Sniper.
American Sniper.
Bradley Cooper.
Yeah.
Won Best Picture.
No, it didn't.
Yeah.
It was nominated.
Give it a goog, Becky. Did it win? I think it won Best Picture. Maybe I'm wrong.
They had a fake baby that he was holding, and he was, with his thumb, moving the baby's arm.
Yeah, yeah. It was definitely nominated.
Yeah, it was nominated. But it was just really badly... The story made no sense. He was like, should I kill that guy? And the guy next to him was like, if you're wrong, they'll fry you. I'm like, how about getting your fucking binoculars and look?
It's not great.
Did not win Best Picture.
Whoa, shit. Sorry. I think it was nominated.
The fact that it was nominated is a pretty wild, bad. It was like a bad movie.
Yeah. And he liked it.
You know what I had? I had a Sabotage screening of that movie. I hated it so much, and people were loving it so much because it was like they were caught up in the rah-rah America.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, as a movie, there's nothing here. You can see that sometimes in movies where you watch them like 10 years later when the cause is gone.
Yes,
and so
yes.
You're like, this just isn't shot well.
Well, that's Green Book. Green Book wasn't great. It
wasn't good?
Really? It was not great, but that won Best Picture.
Time and Place.
Time and Place. Yeah. It just, you know, feels good, you know, racial, you know.
Yeah.
So that won.
Yeah, but you watch Pulp Fiction now and you're like, this is amazing.
Still holds up.
Yeah, didn't win. Forrest Gump did.
Yeah, which
that was probably okay.
I think that movie's overrated.
Overrated for sure. It doesn't hold. When you look back on this and you're like, what won? You're like, Pulp Fiction for sure. You're like, you're wrong.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Pulp Fiction was so ahead of its time and so ballsy that I think it's like, ugh.
Yeah. Best director. It didn't even win best director.
I know. Well, they're scared of that shit. That shit comes out of nowhere. And these old honkies are just like, whoa, I don't know about this. It's a rape scene.
It's also, yeah. It's out of order. Right.
Who the hell's this Tarantino weirdo?
And then like Robert Zemeckis is like, he made it look like he met Nixon. Like, yeah, but that, all right, great.
It was just every cliche in the book, you know, like war hero, you know, girlfriend didn't like him. She was beaten. I get it. And the acting was great and it's fun. But
American Sniper, I had a Sabotage screening. Hinchcliffe came, Matt Egger came. So what we did is said, guys, everyone, I was just shitting on it so hard.
Yeah.
Like, fighting on people online about how terrible it was and why it was terrible, all the different details. I don't remember all the details now, but if you look at it. So the first 20 minutes is pretty fine and normal. And then it becomes like a caricaturely bad. So I said, we're going to go to the Arclight at 3 p.m. on Tuesday the 17th. And, well, that's today. But whatever. Mm. Back then. And I go, anyone show up, we are going to mock this movie out loud. It's not a major screening. It's already been out for like a month and a half. And everyone went and just started heckling. And so the people, the eight people that were in there just for the movie itself and not for the Sabotage, were just like, what the fuck?
Huh.
And people were like, fake baby! Like, just screaming shit out.
People were like, wait, they're white. What's going on here? Wow, that's hilarious. I didn't know you did that. Mm-hmm. I one time, the Impractical Jokers, they love fucking with the Fast Five, Fast Nine, all that shit.
Oh, really?
And so they rented out a theater in Midtown. They let me go. They got me a ticket. And I was like, what is this? And they just had four microphones. And they just trashed the movie with their audience and fucking killing
their audience.
It was so cool.
Benson does that a lot too. The Benson Interruption.
Does he?
Goes to a movie theater usually at like one of those Tarantino movie theaters. What are they called?
Oh, ArcLight.
Yeah.
That's him.
Yeah.
He owns that.
He owns that like franchise.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And then he gave it to certain people in different areas. Mm. That kinda black like, dude in Austin took over one.
Oh, yeah. It's like Alamo Draft House kind
of. Alamo Draft House. Those.
That's
those,
the one.
Yeah, those
are awesome.
That's so you can eat and watch a shitty movie. He'd be like Cabin in the Woods. He goes, it's something you should like have seen maybe, but like nothing terrible, but like stuff you can make fun of.
Yeah, yeah.
It was kind of fun. You just drink and smoke weed and fucking make fun of the movie.
Yeah, yeah. I like it.
You ever do that Denver show? Cereal, Cartoons and Cereal?
Mm-mm.
Oh.
What's that?
Oh, you got to do it.
Is that where they draw behind you?
No.
Oh.
One of the guys who works at the Comedy Works. You go there now, right?
I love Comedy Works. I'm there in October. Maybe.
They said it's going to go away and then come back in the autumn.
What?
It's going to go away in about April when the warm, just like the regular flu, and then come back next year.
Yikes.
Anyway, I think one Thursday a month. So ask them if you're there. But they do kind of the same thing where they watch old cartoons.
Mm-hmm.
They have cereal and milk in the back. Mm. Everyone eats cereal and milk. It's a show.
Sounds fun.
Not at the Comedy Works, but somewhere else.
Yeah.
Some warehouse. And then like three comics make fun of the old cartoons and the old commercials
too.
The old like early 80s commercials, early 80s cartoons.
Oh, I love it because old cartoons are ripe. It's like they're so rapey violent.
They never say death. They're like, you will meet your doom.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, it's a fun show. Me and Simone did it once. It's fun.
Yeah, all right. I'm down. Whatever your name is, book me. I'm in because I'll be there on a Thursday.
Oh, great. And it's like after that, they're like, pick you up from the club and like, come, let's go.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I like when they get kooky. I've done that show where they draw cartoons of your bits behind you.
Oh, really?
Kills.
Oh, yeah, where's that?
I did it at Union Hall in Brooklyn. It was awesome.
Yeah. One, I saw it at the old Nerd Melt, Meltdown, whatever.
Oh, comics. Yeah.
They did a great show room. Where it was a sketch group. You did 5 minutes and a sketch group did improv sketches about your bits.
Oh, wow. Look at that.
And then you go up and do another five, and then same thing.
Huh. Now, let me ask you this there, Fatty. Do you miss having a story show? Because I still get hit up all the time. Just saw your story on this. Ari was hosting, blah, blah, blah.
That makes me happy.
I never heard of it before. I never heard of you. I saw the story. Now I'm hooked, whatever.
That's great.
They all have millions of views.
How many hits do you have on those? You know,
I got a million,
at least
five
a million,
on one,
right?
And a million on the other. And the other one, well, that's the Roy Wood, though. But yours has more views. But
sorry.
Like the Rogan
I
one and the
on
Segura
it.
One, yeah. And the fucking, all those like Jim Brewer and all these. I don't know if that
Jim
was
Brewer
you.
Jim Brewer crushed. No, Jim Brewer was
okay,
me.
Yeah. It was just millions. Like that show hit.
He was supposed to do the next year when they like went against me. And I was trying to save it just for the people who were like working there. And so my job was to call the people and be like, hey, can you... You should still show anyway.
You had to do that even if you were after fire?
And then later they're like, we're not paying you. I'm like, I still worked for... All right, whatever. Anyway,
have you made up with them at all?
They've all been fired. 2 weeks ago, they all got fired. Jonas, George, I mean, everybody. I think Ann is the only one still there.
Ann is still there, yeah.
Dude, they cleaned house.
Is this...
CBS bought Viacom.
CBS bought Viacom.
They cleaned house. I felt bad at first for a little bit for some of them because I like some of them.
Yeah.
And then I was like, but in fairness, that company was the number one platform for comedy, and now it is irrelevant.
What about the online?
The group of people that guided it from the powerhouse to a way below FX,
yeah,
maybe should be held accountable.
What do you think happened? Because it was like Daily Show, South Park.
I think they went too hard on woke.
Everybody
woke Central.
Did, I think, for a while.
Uh-huh. I think they looked for celebrity over content.
Ooh.
And so when they had something like Inside Amy Schumer, when they had thing like
Big Hit,
who were the two girls?
Broad City. Key and Peele.
These weren't stars. Then they became stars.
How
and people
were
like, we
that?
Could only book stars.
Interesting.
They booked quality content that turned into massive things.
Right.
And they're like, well, we need a big star. Like, you make your stars.
Right.
They start doing 360 deals with stand-up. Like, well, he has a show on, so we'll give him a stand-up. Like, well, now you're mortgaging stand-up because there's probably somebody better who doesn't have a show on.
Uh-huh.
And other networks, I don't want to say who, they're also doing the same thing now. They're like, let's cross-promote. Like, unless we're already going to do – if Tom Segura, who's already – every time he has a special, Netflix is going to like, we'll buy it.
Yeah, now. I mean,
right.
He had to get that first one on.
If he has a show, then it's like perfect cross-promotion.
Right.
You know, do you have a TV show anyway? It's like, sure. There's a bidding war for his TV show, let's say. And it's like, Netflix bought it. It's like, smart. But don't give him a show only because he has the specials.
Uh-huh.
Don't give him a special only because he has a show.
But I feel like all the networks are doing that because everybody's running scared. Because
HBO did hard. They went all like, if you have a show on our network, we'll give you a special. I'm like, well, guess what? Nobody watched HBO specials for a long time.
I know, but it has worked in the past. Louis had Lucky Louis, which that show tanked, but he got Shameless out of it.
Louis was already one of the top 20 comics in the world.
I don't know if they saw him that way. I mean, they did give him a show.
But he was one of those people already.
Okay. But here's my point. These guys, they wait for you to get famous. Yeah. They want the Instagram people. They want the YouTube stars. And they go, here's a show. You already got a following. But that doesn't mean it's good.
Dude, I was in meetings, booking meetings. This was the hardest thing. I don't know if I've ever told like the comedians what it was like to deal with a network for booking. When I wanted talent.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted numbers.
And you know talent because you're out there.
Yeah. And I also spent years... like you, underneath.
Yeah.
Just going like, they're part of the problem. This call is part of the problem.
Yes.
Having this person on three times is part of the problem.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So I'm like, I don't want to be part of the problem.
Yeah.
I don't want to book somebody. So they bring up a name and I'd be like, guys, have any of us ever laughed at that person? Like, what are we talking about?
What a weird question to have to bring up.
I know.
This is the least funny person on the planet. We shouldn't book
them
for that.
Show now, and it's like, so they would have meetings like, well, we can book this person, and they would go to look at Twitter followers. And book based on that. And I'm like, guys, look, if it's a dead tie,
yeah,
maybe use that as a tiebreaker. Who's
going
to promote it better?
Yes.
But like,
wow. But don't they see, did you ever have that one cool guy at the coffee machine? Like, I'm with you, brother. This is brutal.
Well, Jordy explained it to me once.
Uh-huh. Please, let
and
me
he
hear
goes,
it.
What you have to understand is, if you have somebody cool, he goes, the way a show gets picked up over somewhere is if everyone, the HR people, the assistants, whatever, they're all talking at the water cooler.
Mm.
They're like, can you believe we got so-and-so on our network? So, if you
but
get
that
the,
could be a celebrity.
Right,
that could be a talent.
Right. So we want a guy like Josh Homme from Queens of the Stone Age.
Okay.
He also has some heroin stories.
Ooh,
you know,
that's fun.
He's some fucking knife-fighty kind of shit. So it's like, it's possible he could have told a good one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So some non-comics can tell a good one.
Okay.
Henry Rollins, a perfect example. Told
right.
a great story, not
right.
a comic.
Right.
But spoken word guy for decades. So
true.
Like, he has experience. But like, they're like, if we have the guy from Queens of the Stone Age, people are like talking about it, that's what got your show picked up.
Uh-huh.
So then you have to find the line between, I don't want to mortgage talent completely. But also, if you go, but then they what they do is they keep going down the line of celebrity into some like, the chick from Grey's Anatomy, not the lead chick, just some chick. I'm like, guys, I'd rather get fucking some low-level comic.
Give me Anthony DeVito.
Right, exactly. That's a great name. I'd rather get Anthony DeVito, who's going to be funny,
and
than
work
somebody
at it.
Who's going to add 30 views.
Right.
You know, and then be bad and have everyone else suffer because it's not good.
And the people who like that lady from Grey's Anatomy are going to watch your intro and go, I'm out. This
is
weird. What is
it's
this
just
dark
dumb. It's short in money for long-term failure.
Right. But how could they not see that?
So
we're not
the best
smart.
I try
we
to,
get it.
Yeah, I try to explain to them. It was like Rob Corddry, who I liked, who tried hard with a story. He's not a stand-up comic.
But he's a funny guy.
Funny guy. And I was like, okay. That wasn't to me. That wasn't me bending over backwards.
Yeah.
Booking like that. That
I'm
was
with
like,
you.
Okay. And then also, by the way, we had people that I was like, I want him bad, and they failed because they didn't practice.
Oh,
they
you had
try.
That. So
absolutely.
You had, did you eat that and go, that was on me? I booked that guy.
No,
he sucked.
I felt that wasn't on me. I made the right call. That was on that comic.
Okay.
You didn't prepare.
But
I thought you should have.
It's still under your hat, though.
Absolutely. But
all
I'm
right.
like, I'll take it because I made
right.
the right call.
All
right. Michael Jordan, one of the game sixes, had the ball, and he kicked it out to John Paxson
okay.
for a three. John Paxson hit an open three and won the game.
Ah.
John Paxson. Have you ever heard that name?
No.
Okay.
I'm on Paxil.
Okay.
But no.
I remember that one. He was a starter for the Bulls. He
okay.
was the fifth man who could hit some threes. Like, you know what I mean? The only way he could score, people laid off in the double team Jordan.
Now, who's your Paxil or Paxson?
Okay. So, I can't say because they failed.
Ah, well, I'm talking about good.
Okay, good.
Paxson is good.
Okay, in a good way. Let's say in a good way.
A good Paxson.
Okay,
a three,
yeah.
Game winning point.
Yeah. Who do I know that was like, well, you'd be a good. Nah. You already had some like notoriety a little bit.
Yeah.
Big J. That's a good call.
He has killer. I think
okay.
he has two on
so
there.
So Big J, just like John Paxson, was lights out 3-point shooter.
Yes.
Big J had great stories.
Sean Patton. Killer storyteller.
Yes.
But sorry.
But I had to tell Big J that I'm like, listen. I had to lie to him and say they're going to fly you out. And just like, I flew him out.
You see? Who's doing that?
But it's better for the show. Because
I
this guy's one of the top 5 or 6 storytelling comics in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So it's way better for my show to have him on.
Yeah.
So I'll take some of my producer money and slide it over to a flight. Who cares?
There you go.
You know?
Good
I booked
man.
You on the same thing.
Oh, you paid for my flight?
No.
Ah.
I think I said, you have to make an excuse to come to LA.
That's right.
I have to book you as a local.
Yes.
Because otherwise we'd have to pay for first class flight because it was over 1,000 miles.
I would have done coach.
And the
oh, it's legal.
Union rules. Union
legal,
rules. You have to. And hotel. And I'm like, dude, we don't have that in the budget. So either I can't book you or can you, you're going to come to LA at some point anyway.
Yeah.
Can you come these dates?
And I made it work and mm-hmm. I stayed on some skank's couch.
And I remember your agent was like, oh, you got to fly him and do this. I'm like, please talk to your client. I think he's going to be in town anyway because I already talked to you.
Yeah.
But Big J, I knew he'd hit a home run. I knew he hit a three, and he did.
He did.
And no one knew him then. They didn't want him. They actively didn't want him.
That's right. I remember he had a struggle for years.
Yeah. And so that's great. Other comics who like should have been great one year and had been good other times, but like didn't try. I'm like, fuck.
Yeah.
If Paxson misses that three, Jordan didn't make the wrong call. by hitting an open guy who's a great three-point shooter.
Got it.
You don't hit Shaq for a three.
No.
But John Paxson for a three, that's the right call. And it's 60% you make it, but 40% you don't.
That's good stuff.
So anyway, Rob Corddry, I'm like, he should be okay. His show that week got less ratings than Joey Diaz's, who at the time wasn't a guy, wasn't a big guy, did the week after.
Interesting.
His online story got, at the time, like 300,000 views, and Diaz got 800,000 views.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, God. And Corddry had 1 million followers on Twitter.
Wow. For
Instagram.
Well, there you go. That's
and
the numbers
like,
right there.
Does this show you anything?
Yes.
At all? And they were like, no, it doesn't show us anything.
But it's not rocket science. It's not rocket science.
The funny people that are popular in this world are better.
But here's the thing about comics. We're very results-based. You go up, you tell a joke, it kills. You go, all right, that joke works. You do it again, it kills, that joke works. You tell a joke 8 times, it bombs 8 times. Okay, that joke's out of my rotation. That's it. The numbers are there. The laughs are there. But why can't these guys should get fired for shit like that?
They did eventually.
They did.
Eventually.
Well, years later. I'm talking about right then they should go, I was wrong. Let's change up. Let's go with your thoughts. I mean, that should be – it's like when you have this – you have a good show idea, a sitcom, and some queef comes in with a suit on and a cool haircut, and he goes, I don't like this kid.
Let's make the ex-girlfriend a best friend now.
Exactly. We need more women. We got to do this. We got to do that. And the show tanks. You go, you're out. You never have a creative input again. You're out.
But they'll say it tanked because the show didn't quite follow enough of my input. Or the acting wasn't good. They won't go, it was me.
But that's the problem.
That is the problem.
They just want to feel like they're needed, even though they're not. And they should be fired or should be penalized in some way. Uh-huh. Like, all right, you got one creative demerit. You had a bad call and the show tanked.
And also,
it's millions of dollars.
Something Robbie did that was really good that I loved.
Praw?
Yeah, Praw. When he was at Montreal at JFL. He would call people, comedians, and people like Whitney. I think Whitney he might have done it to. I'm not sure. But people like Whitney anyway, who never got new faces. Call her once she became a massive person, massive celebrity, and say, hey, listen, I missed the boat on you.
New faces.
I am sorry.
I love it.
Clearly, you had talent and you succeeded.
I love it.
So it's not a question I was wrong.
That's unheard of in this business.
And it makes them go, thank you. I will do your festival.
Of course.
All you got to do is own up to it. And CC never once did.
Wow.
With anybody. They were never like, ah, okay, my bad on that. If you did, you're like, then I can trust you.
Right. But what, I mean, I could talk about this shit all day. Like, what? Sam Morril just put out a YouTube. Go check it out. He's got a special on
Sam
YouTube.
Sam Morril. He'll be on the podcast soon.
He's funnier than, you name it, all these big guys.
Really
you
funny.
Know, I'm not going to name names.
Yeah.
But nobody would give him a special. Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, HBO, whatever the fuck. Comedy Central said, we'll give you an online thing. We'll throw you $20 and we'll do it, whatever. Mm-hmm. So he did it. It's got over 1.5 million views, whatever, in like a week or a month, whatever. It's some insane number.
Yeah.
And that was still like a fight to get that on. Like I'm fighting with them
digital.
Now to get mine on. So it's like, what the fuck are we doing? It just shows, they go, well, the funny doesn't sell. But it does.
The funny does
It does. Sell. Look at Joey Diaz. The numbers
Their
don't lie.
Their version of what's funny is like, I don't even think they understand anymore. Honestly, when have you seen any of those Comedy Central people come out to any show and actually be in the room?
Yeah, well, it's all word of mouth. They all go, hey, look at the list.
Funny doesn't sell. They don't really even know what's funny.
Time Out in New York, though. These are the hot. I'm like, that guy's been doing it 2 weeks,
oh,
and
you ever
he's
read
in a wheelchair.
One of those blogs on, like, Reaction to Louie or with some comedians or what comics say about rape jokes or whatever, and the people they interview, because we know comedy, like, 3 of those 7 are literal open
micers. I know, of course.
And you're viewing them along with... With you?
I know.
Are you crazy?
And I'm like, do you even like comedy? You used to work in accounting. Now you got into comedy. And now you're a blogger. It's all fucking weird. And look at all the shows that are... It's like HBO killing it. HBO has been
consistently
the best. It's
just
like Sopranos,
show.
Six Feet Under, and Deadwood, and Succession. It's all these amazing shows, movie-level shows. Killer writing, shooting, the whole thing.
Movie-level.
But nobody fucks with them. Same with Louis' show on FX. It won all these awards. Emmy, best show on television, number one show of the year. It was just him. There was no notes.
It was him
deciding.
Don't
they see?
So you know the reason this is not happening got going? It's because there was this woman. I'm not great. I don't remember her name. Fuck, what?
Delta Burke. Oprah.
Well, this is the bad. No, it's none of those people.
Amanda Knox.
Oh, yeah, maybe it's the name of Knox.
Casey
Amanda
Anthony.
Knox. The one who locked her kid in the trunk.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Casey Anthony. She was an executive. And by the way, lady, it's nothing personal. I just smoke a lot of weed.
Yeah.
But she started giving us notes on digital only. And she goes, well, we think the story should be 2 minutes or less because on YouTube that lasts. And
I'm like, tell that to Joe Rogan.
What?
Tell that to Joe Rogan's podcast.
And I'm like, oh, these are stories. They'll go as long as they go. She goes, well, how long? I'm like, as long as they go.
That's the point of the internet.
Some stories, there's no rules. So some stories might go 3 minutes and some might go 25 minutes. But some stories have more details. Mm-hmm. Other stories, like, I met a guy, did this, and that was it. I'm like, well, that's 45 seconds. Good story.
Yeah.
Some go way long. We're not going to do that. And because she was so weak and let us run over her, that show got its legs on digital. Because we had done this in live a bunch of times.
Right.
Probably did it in Montreal, maybe. And like,
We
figured it out over years. And so because she was like, well, how about this? Or she'd go, like, we should have a YouTube star. I'm like, if you have a YouTube star in here, they're going to bomb, and they're going to anger all the comedians that go on after her.
Sure.
So, no. And she'd be like, okay. And because she was so weak and let us do our own thing, we made something amazing.
Once again, let the comic do its thing, the artist.
Let us fail or not fail on our own.
Yeah, how many times has committee really saved the day?
That's what they say in The Fountainhead. Like, all these architects, they join together to do something great. And the main architect, who's like this great artist, he goes, each of you do better work on your own than you all did together.
There you go.
And why is that?
Uh-huh. Look at Seinfeld. When it started out, it was clunky and weird, but they were figuring it out. And everybody goes, let them do it. And then, season three was amazing.
And Practical Jokers got their legs after like two seasons. All right, do what you want. And
leave them alone.
Yeah, leave them alone.
But why? I mean, we've been doing TV. That's why TV is failing and the internet is just booming. Because look at YouTube.
No rules.
Like, hey, put up a video of a guy dancing in a coffee shop and it gets viral.
Well, I don't see a plot in that. Like, we don't have to.
You don't have to. I pitched a million shows. I probably pitched 11 shows. I'm talking flying to L.A., round after round. We're going to Amazon now. Now we're going to Apple. now we're going to TBS. They've all been horrible. They've all not gotten picked up. Once I got to the second round. Which means a production company got behind it, and then they would fly me out, and they would put me up, and it was pretty amazing. But it never got bought, obviously. But every single time, they're like, but why would people watch it? I'm like, because it's funny and it's entertaining and you love the characters. And
why would they watch Seinfeld?
Not enough.
Why would they watch Seinfeld? Nothing is happening here.
Nothing. Literally. That's the name of the motto. Yeah.
But it's like, it's a guy, a comedian, and he has some friends, and they kind of just shoot the shit.
Number one show of all time.
Yeah, but why would he watch it? Like, oh, it's going to be hilarious. But did I mention that part? That's going to be hilarious?
What's the hook? We need a hook. What's the hook on Raymond?
Don't.
What's the hook on Ray? What's the hook on Saved by the Bell?
Then you end up doing specials that are like, well, this one's going to be all this. Yeah. This one's going to be on a carrier ship. This one's going to be no audience.
I'll have dogs in the crowd.
Yeah. I was like, it's like, how about just do something hilarious?
I know. Exactly. Oh. It's all right there.
It's all right there.
It's
so frustrating because I wish I could run a place. But I don't have the energy or the desire to run a place.
No, it's a lot of telling people no, and you'd be called an asshole a lot. It's tough. I mean, just running that show, I can only imagine was.
It seems like what they should say is no or yes, but if it's yes, we're stepping away. Do what you want. But like, my only job is say, I think there's a future in this, or I don't think there's a future in this. And then from then on, it's like, it's on you.
But these are educated people. Like, I would love to get it, like, four
feel important.
High up execs in here and just put them at this table and go, why this? Why that? And I feel like they would have an answer.
Yeah.
And then I think we should go from there because right now we're just shitting.
Sometimes,
on
too, it's like, so I asked Ann once, I was like, is there a difference between, so they give notes, right? And so some of the notes are suggestions and some of the notes are like, you have to do this. But on paper, they look exactly the same.
Mm.
So I'm like, is there a way for the note makers to say, like, a different way of, like, I'm thinking maybe, have you ever thought of this? Like, take it or leave it. Like, you know how you'll give a tagline to a comic and you're like, I don't care.
Take it or leave it.
I just thought maybe, maybe talk about your father there. And then other people, like losers, open micers, or whatever, like, do this. And you're like, are you doing that joke yet? Like, hey, man, you're overstepping.
Right.
You told me once.
Right.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Yeah.
And so there's no difference between those, like, you must versus the could be this. And the people getting the notes are thinking they're all musts.
Right.
And so then they're editing based on like, I thought of this 3 seconds ago.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, that's a good point.
We had to do this thing where you had to learn how to take the notes and say no to them. So, I mean, I can say this now because they're all gone. I'm not working there anymore. But you would say things like, oh, I'd rather use a different shot for this, different angle. And you were like, oh, we wanted to, but there was a guy behind picking his nose in the shot, so it ruined it. Like, oh, okay, cool. So they felt like they were being listened to, but that way you could be like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah,
I'm editing for 8 fucking months trying to make all these comics look their best.
Right.
And you're coming in here like, doing this? Like, get out of here. I have a vested interest in making this the best it can be.
Yeah.
You just don't want to lose your job.
I know, right? But then at the end of it, when it's successful, they should go, hey, thanks for trying there.
Exactly. Yeah, you know who's good at that? Ad execs when you do a commercial.
Oh, really?
Sometimes they'll be like, hey, man, if you want to change the lines, go ahead and change the lines.
Right, right.
I'll still get the credit for writing this commercial.
Right.
Just, you have to say Dreyer's ice cream is amazing when it's time for you to say
yeah.
that. But everything else, say whatever you want.
You've gotten a commercial?
I had like 60 of them.
What, 60?
I had so many commercials.
Whoa, 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 whoa. 60 commercials, that's like... $50 million. I mean,
no, in a pay, like some don't air and they give you $500 for the shoot.
Okay.
Some air a bunch.
60?
My biggest was like $40,000.
$40,000.
Yeah, for Kia, my first one, Kia commercial, went for like 2 or 3 years.
How many auditions till you got one? Because I've done about maybe 500 commercial auditions, never got one.
Different time now, commercials than it was then.
Yeah.
In early 2000s.
Okay.
Lauren Tarr, commercial agent extraordinaire, Aqua Talent.
Awkward Talent.
Aqua.
Aqua. Sorry.
Awkward would be good for the type of commercials we go on for.
Yeah, you got to hire me.
I didn't get a callback for like 6 months, and I was like getting really frustrated. And he goes, "Don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. You'll get this." And then I got a callback. I felt good.
6 months later.
And then and then 3 months after that, I got put on Avails or something, mm-hmm. which means they put like 3 people like you're on Avails, you're on Avails, you're on Avails. Don't do anything for January.
Yeah, 17th. Yeah.
And then they call back one person like, can you do it? Like, yes. If they're like, I fell sick, like, cool, we'll go to the next.
But
if you're on Avails, that's him saying, you are good enough to do this.
Yes.
You and 2 other people are good enough.
It's just about scheduling now.
Or like, we're going to choose our favorite.
Uh-huh.
But they're like, pretty much like, you're good enough to get booked.
But here's the clinker. With commercials, I feel like whoever is the loosest and the I don't need
loosest,
it the
exactly.
most, that's the person who get it. But the more times you get called back, and the more time you anticipate
the less
it,
you need it,
the less loose you'll be. No, right. I think it's more. It ups it more. Now you're like, now I really need it.
For a single audition. For a single commercial.
Single commercial audition, yeah. You go in, you go, ah, fuck it, I'll probably never get
but
this.
When
and
I,
then
when
they
I,
love you.
When I booked my 5th in 1 year, my 6th through 10th that year was nothing.
Didn't give a fuck.
It didn't give a fuck, and I was so loose.
5th in a year.
I did 10 1 year.
10 in a year. I mean, that's got to pay for your home.
I did quite well that year.
Quite well. Wow.
Yeah.
Kia, what are we talking here? Shit we've
Kia
heard
was
of?
First. I remember Pizza Hut being second.
Pizza Hut.
I did that with the Sklar Brothers and the Sparklin. What's his name? Tommy Davidson.
Oh, nice. Yeah. And Living Cull.
Said hi. I'm like, hey, man. He goes, I can't do interviews right now. Or I can't do autographs right now. I'm like, no. I'm a comic. I met you like 3 days ago at the comedy store. He goes, oh, okay. He goes, yeah, I'm in this commercial with you.
Yeah.
He goes, oh, okay. Nice to meet you. 2 hours later. We were getting ready to do our scene. They hadn't done anything. I was like, hey, man. He goes, I can't right now. I'm like, dude, I'm the guy from 2 hours ago
who said
I met you at the comedy store last week. I'm a
fucking celebrities. And you're not the most subtle guy. You're 7'1". You got a giant face, you know.
Yeah, but when I booked that Kia commercial, my friend Jim Painter, who's all our influence. Remember Tom McCaffrey?
Love Tom McCaffrey.
Always speaking like this.
Funny as hell.
Like this with his hand.
Yeah.
That's all Jim Painter.
Is that right?
Influence all of us. Like, we don't even want this thing.
Oh, is that right?
It's all Jim Painter.
Jim Painter?
Yeah, he's out. He went crazy.
Is he on YouTube? I want to check him out. Because Tom's I'm a huge fan of Tom.
Yeah. He pushed the line for all of us when we were like open micers at the comedy store. He would do stuff that was so out there.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. When I booked that one, he goes, you booked another one? I was like, yeah, because we're all struggling. He goes, so are you just going to like do this from now on?
Yeah.
Because one was like a lark, you know. Two was like, I remember it was like October was the first one, and then January was the second one.
Wow.
And I was like, I think I might just be able to do this.
Apparently. And this is before diversity was everything. So you were just a skinny white guy.
Just like awkward. Awkward, right. Awkward was a type.
Yeah,
my glasses booked me a bunch of like my thicker glasses booked me like
you had a look.
15 commercials.
You had longish hair.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The commercial audition process back then was you see the same people all the time.
Yeah, like List got his first one too.
Really?
Yeah, he got a Bacardi rum
back then.
Back then, this is like 2006, 2007.
When he was like, maybe I'll get some free rum.
Yeah, he was such a booze bag.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you went in and riff one line, you'd get it.
Absolutely. Yeah, you just like, I'm going to do my own thing. Mm-hmm. I had one. Was it the pizza? No, it was something else. Where somebody goes, I left. They said like, it was for the new Pizzone. It was Pizza Hut.
Pizzone.
Yeah. And they go, we have the new Pizzone. Somebody's going to come into your store. You have a store. You and these other people, yeah. One or two people have a store. And somebody comes in and gives you the Pizzone. He goes, first time, play it normally. We did. It was like, oh, cool. Pizzone. Cool. I'll try that. He goes, now try it like really realistically. Like as if you're in a store and some guy came in with pizza. Just some random guy. And the guy with me, I didn't know. You know, they pair you up.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, I don't know about this. I'm like, hey, man, we're doing business here. Why don't you get out of here? Yeah. I don't care about your fucking pizza.
Yeah.
We're doing, but you can't just come in here. We're making boxes. He goes, well, no. I said, get out. We're working.
Uh-huh.
We left, and the guy's like, hey, thanks for ruining that for both of us. He was really mad at me.
The other actor.
Yeah, I booked
it. Wow. You booked it.
I booked it.
Look at that.
I would have loved to have seen him see me on TV going, wait, what? Hey, you got to let go, man. You got to let go.
Wow. And that was Harvey Weinstein. Wow. You see, you didn't give a fuck, and that's why you got it.
And then when you don't get one for like 6-8 months, you get desperate.
Yeah.
And then you get worse. You can feel yourself leaving.
Yes.
Auditions going, that wasn't good.
Yes.
It should have been better.
It's like an incel.
And I went like 2 years without one. My savings went like all the way down. And then you find the book where you're like, thank God.
Right, right. And then you see commercial and you're like, that guy got it? Yep. I know that chooch. He sucks.
I could have done that one.
Yeah, yeah. I've seen commercials I've auditioned for and then not gotten and then seen it. I'm like, that guy looks just like me.
It's fun to see one. Any audition when you audition for it, you're like, oh, that thing, I want to see what my part was.
Right, right. Yeah, I know. I remember once I was dating a girl and I was at her parents' place. It was like Thanksgiving and we're all watching TV after the meal and I was like, I auditioned for that commercial. Fuck. Now I'm here with you idiots.
Yeah.
I could have been on a yacht.
Remember,
commercial money was insane.
It was insane.
It was like 200 grand or something.
It's gone away a lot.
Wow. What was the most you made? 40?
40, I think, for that one.
That's still, I mean, that's.
But like
10
years before that, 100 grand was not a big deal for a commercial.
Yeah, totally. I mean, Jim Gaffigan cleaned up on the Hemi guy.
I remember seeing him in the DC Improv on the lineup. I think I was doing like an MC spot.
Mm-hmm.
And saying like, the guy from 100 commercials.
Right.
That was his credit.
Right, yeah.
The guy from the Keystone Light commercial guy.
Yes, that's right. He had a look.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow, man. So wait. How long have you been doing this? Because have you seen a change?
In what?
Just like with doing comedy, the internet.
50 changes.
Oh, really?
We used to have to make stand-up tapes on which is VHS. Blank VHS tapes. I had to buy a bunch of 7-minute and 10-minute
wow.
VHS tapes.
How about that?
Because they're cheaper than the 2-hour ones.
Right.
That I didn't need.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, there's so many changes.
And you had to get the big boy, the big camera with the fucking.
To make a tape of yourself.
To make a tape.
Now it's every iPhone. Just set it up. Damn. All you got to pay for is a tripod.
What about the internet? I mean, now I'm on.
Changed things. You don't have to send in it. You just like upload your thing. You make it private if you want.
Sure.
Also, you can get a. The best is that you can get a following without having someone to say, we deem you.
The deem. Yes. But with all the good comes a lot of bad. Now you got the YouTube stars. Now you got the Instagram weirdos.
Those aren't bad.
Okay.
Those YouTube stars, no one's.
They're not taking anything.
When Full House was on, it was a terrible show. It's my example of a terrible show.
Horrible show.
Yeah, it was on for 6-8 years, something like that.
Oh,
10 years.
It had a run.
Yeah. They deemed them, and they pushed them in our face. People watched that because it was on.
And they loved it, though.
They sort of did, but also it was
huge.
Like, I remember before I did stand-up, I was watching that, and one of the girls came in, when the little girls came in, and it was like, cool, dude.
Yeah.
And my brother and sister started laughing, and I was like, what are you laughing at? There's not a joke there. It's just a kid saying, cool, dude.
Of course.
It's not even a play off anything that happened.
Right.
She could do this at any point in the episode. It would be the exact same joke.
Yeah, it was horrible.
And they're like, shut up, Bar. You're ruining this. I'm like, I'm not ruining it. There's no joke here.
No.
I was so mad. If a YouTube star who plays fucking Call of Duty and has people watch him has 1 million downloads, those people have access to everything in the world, not just the 3 shows that are on TV.
Yep.
And they have chosen to watch this. They're not taking away. Those people who are watching that will not watch Joey Diaz.
No.
They were never going to. And they have access to both of them.
Okay.
So those people don't bother me at all. They're doing their thing and they're finding their exact audience.
It's sad what works. Dude,
it's sad when those people take comedy club gigs and take away like dates from us.
True, but
usually, not the Saturday afternoons.
Yeah, they're doing Tuesday at 4 and
it's jam-packed. No problem at all. Let them.
Let them. And they help the club as well.
Yeah, sure.
But It's set. You Netflix has a feature now where they show the top 10 things people are watching. Uh-huh. Number one is always the worst movie of all time. Number two is horrific. Number three is Love is Blind. Number four is The Bachelor. Love I mean, it blind, just yeah. gets worse. And you're
oh,
like,
dude, we're
this is America.
You
it's
and I are
brutal.
And like, I'm headier than you are probably.
Yeah.
But like, we're in the, both of us are in the 99th percentile in terms of like taste.
Yeah, oh, completely. It's like Fluffy or Russell Peter or Sebastian is hovering in that
yeah.
middle area.
I wouldn't even take comics into it. I would take like Love is Blind, where I'm like, yeah. this is trash.
Trash.
And the most people like it.
It's McDonald's.
And then Arrested Development, people are like, maybe I'll give it a chance.
Canceled.
Yeah.
Even 30 Rock, smart as hell, canceled.
Yeah, nobody, exactly.
2 years or whatever.
So then
cares.
It's like.
You got to factor that in.
Which is weird. I think we're in a weird time now because the likes. The amount of likes is now the new commodity.
Yeah.
So, like, I got 1,000 likes on this. But it's like, if we're going just by total popularity, then 2.5 Men is a better show than Arrested Development.
Right, right.
But don't we all agree that that's not a better show?
Exactly.
And overall popularity is not what we deem positive?
Totally.
So then why do we now go, this got likes? I'm like, doesn't mean it was good.
True. That's a good point. Because somebody goes, my mom died, and it gets 1 million likes out of pity. But like, that doesn't.
Was not, that a good tweet?
It's not a good tweet. No art there at all. But.
Oh. I get dislikes. I go for it and I get them.
Wait, I had something and I lost it.
The
shit.
Likes being more positive than the. Come on, get there, Mark. Damn get it. Get there, Mark.
The beer's kicking in. Damn it. Wait, the likes. Shit. You talk. It'll come back to me.
I think we're going to do a lot of these podcasts as just a place to get drunk. So my ideal was in the studio, we're at the stand. Last show ended. 11:30. You done? I'm done. Like, you get a drink. Like, let's get some scotch over there.
Yeah.
And then like, hey, DeRosa's here. Let's fucking take a fucking 12-minute walk back to my place. We'll do a drunk podcast.
There you go.
We'll still get drunk.
Yeah.
And we'll just like increase our visibility a little bit.
Content.
So that part's gone now. You know, in terms of like, let's run after the stand and come over here, late yeah. night drunk ones. But like, it's still going to be a place, I think, I'm hoping, to like, see a human, see a friend.
What, a comedy club?
This.
Oh, this.
This.
Yeah, this is big.
It's like, have a couple drinks and just like talk.
Yeah, this is social. We need it. We crave yeah. it. So, and then the people watching it feel a part of it too, mm-hmm. and that's the whole thing. That's what yeah, keeps
I
you on
I
want
to do some late night ones. But I guess we don't have to do late night because there's no spots.
There's no spots. You can do fucking 6 p.m.
Let's just meet up and get drunk or high.
Yeah. Get some girls in here.
Let's get some dancers, some go-go dancers.
That's a joke.
Ah, they're done, man.
They need work too.
Yeah. We should get some little go-go dancers to be on the side. Just...
I mean, it helps morale. It keeps yeah. it up. See, now I'm doing that thing where I'm still trying to remember my other thing and I can't think of anything
you
else
You are
now.
Still.
Fuck. It was,
what were we talking about?
Talking about likes. You had a great point with the likes.
So 2.5 Men would be more popular and higher value than Arrested Development.
Right.
Because that
right.
had more likes.
Oh, I got it back. It's not even that good now that I got it.
God
damn it. But it's almost, the weird thing about 2.5 Men, even Trump voters, mm-hmm. is like, you rarely meet any. Like, you go, you like 2.5 Men? They go, no, that show
you
sucks.
You rarely meet anyone.
But it's like being gay in the 40s. They hide it, you know? You're like, you are a fan of 2.5 Men, but you won't tell me.
Yeah.
And that's why the show's huge. I mean, the fucking Bachelor.
You're right. It is like Trump voters that way, where they're like, I don't know.
You never see a bunch of Trump guy. I mean, I guess you do.
No, just not in New York City.
Maybe not in New York, but like, you know, like he won. He obviously had a big win with the votes, but yeah. you don't really. But I guess we live in New York. But yeah, it's the same with 2.5 Men. It's the same with fucking Mike and Molly or all those horrific shows. This Is Us.
Oh my God,
they're all horrible.
Steve loves that. She cries. I came into stop at Big J's and she was crying. I'm like, what's the matter? She goes, I was just watching.
I'd rather come in and see her fucking a big dude than that shit.
Well, that's on Tuesdays.
Yeah, I got it. Primetime TV.
So this is my plan for this place. I think it might be a place for us to like.
It's like a social club.
Exactly.
I love it.
So there's a bunch of people who live on the lower side of Manhattan.
Yes.
Like List is, I get it, him not wanting to come in.
He's in Astoria.
He will after 30 days, but for right now, yeah. I get him wanting to hole up. But like me, you, Silver, Big J, Corinne.
You're right.
I mean, Tom Barry and Judah are not going to come out here.
Nah, maybe Gomez or Tim Dillon. Oh, he's in L.A.
Tim Dillon's in L.A. But it's like all the people who live out here, it's like, let's just get together and do
Why
some
not?
Shit and fucking
yeah.
put some shit up.
Totally. I'm down. I love it. I think it's great. I mean, we can just hit the button. The button. I almost said the number. You hit the button and come
you.
On up.
Thank you. yeah.
And I feel like this is on the east side. The east side is so much more popping because where yeah. I live, It's like families, it's older people. Gays and stuff. And
it's a weird place to have a house, you, over there.
You think?
Well, it's not your...
Too stuffy?
It's not your vibe.
No, no, but I love that neighborhood. It's so pretty.
It is pretty. Walking the streets there, especially in like early autumn, mid-autumn, I would say, is like, that's cool.
It's brownstones and those big stoops. And
the stoops.
You know, you got some great bars and the restaurants are top-notch and the water's right over there.
Uh-huh.
I love it. I love that neighborhood. And I drive the moped through there and the fucking leaves are falling. Woo! Can't beat it. But you're right. I don't fit in. I mean, I had to meet with the board to get in that building.
Oh, really?
Awkward.
Really?
Awkward agency. Yeah.
Did you tell them you were a comic? Were they like, interesting? Or they're like,
They were like, how do we know this is going to last? And I'm like, well, I remember saying I'm on Conan next week and I'm doing The Garden.
That gave cred.
In a month. I'm just trying to like pour shit at them. And then they're like, okay. That sounds legit. That's cool. But what about after that? I'm like, well, I have a special coming out. And I had to show them like the numbers of the special. Like, this is how much I'm making.
It's so crazy to get an apartment. You have to be like, I'm on Netflix and here's my Comedy Central show. And
it was
like,
very weird. It was like I was on a date. I was trying to get laid. I was like, look what I've done. And then, but this guy's a dentist. This guy's an architect. You know, it's like old white guys with those round glasses and white hair and fucking sitting like this, you know, with the leg crossed. Yeah. It was not my bag. Yeah. But I talked him into it, and they're like, we watched a couple of the bits, and I don't know.
Oh, my God. They're going to have to go over your material. It's like, no, it's not for you. I'm just saying I can afford it.
Yeah, exactly. The guy above me's a pedophile. I can hear the neighbor beating his wife, but you're worried about me telling some zingers? Like, come on.
Oh, my God.
Because they're like, we've had a lot of entertainment people in here. They can't hack it, you know.
What?
And I'm like, look, I'm a hack. I'll make it work.
I remember in the first place I was applying to out here, I was like, what do you do for a living? I was like, all right, listen, I'm a comedian, but I'm sure you get that a lot. I'm not. I'm actually a working comedian.
Yeah.
And she goes, I've worked here for 15 years. I've never had a comedian apply.
Oh, great.
I was like, oh. I'm like, I guess I'm used to L.A.
Yeah, yeah. Well, in L.A., everybody's a comedian. Everybody's. They're like, I'm an actor, a comedian, a writer. It's like vaudeville in L.A.
Yeah.
Everybody does everything. I'm a yoga instructor. I walk dogs. I direct sometimes.
Yeah.
I draw. I paint.
L.A.'s crazy.
Will you miss it? You used to live there.
I miss the weather.
The weather's unreal.
Weed doesn't matter anymore. Weed was a big difference then.
The women
are
beautiful.
Nice to look at there, for sure.
Unbelievable women.
Women are way cooler here, though.
Way cooler, way smarter, way more interesting.
Yeah, and so like that look of them is like, it's nice. You get used to it after a while. But the coolness is like...
It's better. It's like It's like McDonald's versus like a good meal. Like, sure, this meal is a little flavorless, but... It will, the McDonald's tastes great, but this is a little heartier, but it will make me not hate myself in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
That was a stretch.
That was
a stretch.
I love how you do a metaphor and you're like, all right, that wasn't the best one, but maybe could you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. I've used McDonald's 8 times in this
You eat a lot of McDonald's?
Spot. Not at all, actually. I haven't eaten McDonald's
still going
in
to Chipotle years. Or not?
Every, at least 3 times a week.
Even with this?
Well, if it's open, I'll go.
I went to Whole Foods. I love the buffet salad bar.
Love that.
And I went there, and I'm like, huh.
Yeah, who's coughed on this chickpea? Yeah.
Normally, it's like, I might get sick, but now it's like, I might get sick.
Oh, yeah, like, you know, virus.
Yeah.
Whole Foods is amazing, though. Like, I go there, and I'm like, look at this. It's just like a rows of vegetables, like cooked bell peppers and Brussels sprouts. You're like...
Garlic, broccoli, and tahina, sesame, kale.
It's why the terrorists bomb us, because they're just eating out of bullshit. Like, ISIS is in the desert. We're like, I have an unlimited amount of butternut squash soup. It's insane.
Like, what's butternut squash?
Yeah.
That's not just squash?
I'm like a sultan.
Squash alone is above their pay grade.
There's a machine that does acai bowls. And then there's machine. Yeah, literally. You pull it, and it squirts out, and it's like this.
You know that machine that makes any kind of... butter you want, so it's like peanuts. You can throw it
almond butter. It's amazing.
Cashew butter. Just like put them in, it shreds it and makes butter out of it.
And nobody cares. Just a bunch of rich soccer moms walking around with a baby and a Bjorn going, all right, I'll take the fucking peanut, you brown guy. Give it over. Nobody cares. It's unbelievable.
Oh, it's going to be a weird time, man.
It
all
is.
Runs on Whole Foods, on everything. Trader Joe's had fucking lines around the block, but now people are like, all right, I guess the cells are still stocked.
Yeah, and it's staying open. Hoard. The grocery stores are staying open.
Yeah.
I heard grocery store, pharmacy, auto place.
And the trucks keep coming in. There's no power outage. So people keep stocking the shelves.
That's the weird
thing. Dude, I was at one of the supermarkets and somebody was like pushing and everyone's like shoving and pushing. Not shoving and pushing, but like, excuse me, like moving and like not waiting until somebody gets out of the way, just like sliding by. But pushing a little as you get by.
Yeah.
Somebody hit me with a cart. I was like, excuse me. And I was like angry. And then I was like, guys, except for Purell, everything else is fully stocked.
I know.
There's no reason for this.
Right.
Slow down. You will get your stuff. You'll be in a 25-minute line instead of a 3-minute line.
Yeah.
And that's it.
That's it.
Calm down. It's like we want to have this fucking craziness, but it's just not there.
That's what I've been saying. Yeah, it's invisible. It's weird.
It's invisible.
It's a kooky time, and we're all dealing with it. But at least we're all together.
Yeah. Well, I think we should maybe wrap this up.
Let's do it.
We'll have plenty of these. Like Big J said, you want to come over and do the Bonfire pre-record? I was like, I'll try. I'm trying to set up this podcast. It was yesterday. And I was like, I'll try to set this up. But dude, I think over the next 2 months, we're going to be recording together a lot.
Yeah, buckle up.
So, yeah, if I don't make it today, don't worry about it.
Yeah. Shout out to the delivery guys.
Shout out to the delivery guys. And the grocery. And man, the food service industry, it's like, I don't know, tip them a little bit extra.
Please.
If you got it. Just a few bucks extra. It's like they are done, and they were living paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah, and Pornhub, you're doing the Lord's work.
You're doing the Lord's work, Pornhub.
Unlike the church.
So, you can find Mark on Tuesdays with Stories. His podcast is marknormancomedy.com. There's no reason to like actually go to that right now, but definitely go to Tuesdays with Stories.
Merch.
You got merch? Okay.
I got merch on
comedy.
There. Yes.
Shirts. You know, I was thinking of selling just to fuck with you. I decided not to, but also I'm not on tour. Just selling comedy t-shirts. The same exact one.
Yeah.
Just going on like some 20 per road gig. Like, this is Mark Norman's. I'm like, right?
That's funny. A lot of work for a prank, yeah,
for a revenge sale.
Yeah.
Not even a revenge for anything.
Yeah.
But yeah, his Patreon, his Tuesdays of Stories Patreon, he's putting out tons of content now, him and List. So if you're looking for something to subscribe to, I'm also going to put up, just so you guys know, at least one a week now.
At least.
Before it was one a month. Now it's at least one a week.
Chip in if you can. I get it. Other people are losing their jobs as well. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Do what you can. I'm going to try to figure out a way to do, I'm going to say this in the outro, but people who don't have the money to figure out a way to like get to my Patreon. But until then, go to Mark Norman's, Tuesday the Story. Go to mine, patreon.com/skeptictank. Support us, you know, I don't know, however you want, but keep tuning in.
Yes.
This is number one.
This is life now.
Maybe we release this as the number one episode, actually.
All right. Premiere ep.
The plan was to do it with Diaz and Burke, but both their trips got canceled.
Oh, they were coming here?
Yeah, Diaz was just going to reshoot some Sopranos stuff, and Bert was going to come for press.
Sopranos?
He's in the Sopranos movie.
They're making a movie?
They made
a movie. Whoa, I love the Sopranos.
Yeah, Diaz finally got in. It was his favorite show, too.
Oh, good for D.
Yeah.
But now that's wrapped.
It's on hold. They shot everything.
All right.
Yeah. So that's it. Anything to add?
Just be nice out there. We're all going through it.
Got to be nice. And every time you want to get frustrated, I think you're right. So you got to be like, breathe and just be like, everyone's going through something.
Yep.
Don't fight back to anger with anger. Fight back with like, sorry, excuse me. And just like, let's not get to a point where we're all fucking hoarding and fucking looting.
Right, right. Exactly.
Shoving. Let's just be like helpful as much as we can.
Yeah, and you probably have it. So enjoy.
You probably have it. My mom says 70 to 90% of us are going to get it.
What?
So all you're trying to do is slow it down to not overwhelm the fucking healthcare system.
Wow. And maybe if we get it, it's good because we'll get immune.
Yeah. But I don't even know if that's true.
I don't either.
You can get the flu more than once, right?
Good point. I mean, you know, in the World War I, everybody was getting gangrene or some war.
Yeah.
And so everybody's dying. So they're like, don't touch anybody with a cut, whatever. And one guy goes, fuck that. Stabs a dude's leg who has gangrene, stabs his leg, and just rubs it in. And everybody's like, what, are you crazy? And he built an immunity.
Wow.
Yeah, so sometimes doing the exact opposite thing is the move. Wow. That's why I'm here.
Exactly. All right, you guys. Thank you very much. Stay safe out there.
Yes, praise Allah. This
episode is brought to you by Corona. Great beer, great virus.
Creep it up. Woo. All right. You can't tell by the way I use my walk, I'm a woman's man, no time to talk. The music loud, women walk, I've been kicked around since I was born. I have a tolerance, I don't hate, and you may look the other way. But we can try, the woman's man, the New York Times, I've been no man. Whether you're a brother or wife, you're a mother, you're staying alive, staying alive. We're the city breaking and everybody shaking, and you're staying alive.
that was the episode, everybody. Did you enjoy it? I did. Mark Norman's a fucking great guest on any podcast. He just asked me, he's like, when's it going up? It's like, well, fucking shit came up, dude. Shit fucking came up. You guys have been watching that Tiger show? I just started it. Me and the boyfriend, also named Tony. What was I going to say? Okay, so here's what happened after that episode. So I was like rip-roaring, ready to go. I was like, what I want to do is have like 4, 5, maybe even 6 episodes recorded before I started the YouTube channel, Skeptic Tank Pod, if you want to check it out. We're going to have clips up there. We're going to have lots of other shit. Yoga will start tomorrow. I don't know. Lots of stuff we'll have up there. So make sure to subscribe. We'll have – look at the intro. We'll have separate playlists for different things. I'm announcing right now, too, me and Big J and Dan Soder starting a podcast. We're going to watch 21 Jump Street. That is going to be out probably tomorrow or right now or something like that. You know, probably load up a few just to get you guys like have shit ready to go. Maybe one per day. Watch with us. Watch 21 Jump Street with us. Let us talk about the episode that you just watched. It'll be a companion piece to your fucking shut-in-ness. So, ladies and gentlemen, that was the episode. So, after that happened, I was like, great. Fucking great first episode, Becky. We did it. We finally fucking started the podcast. It was like March 15th, 16th, something. I think March 15th, maybe 16th, something like that. Fucking 10 days ago, huh? It's 26th right now. Damn. This will be up the 27th. And the next day, I was like, let me start looking for people to do podcasts with. Called Joe List. Me and Norman talked about this. He was like, I'm not leaving my neighborhood right now. And I was like, all right. The weird thing was, anyone who was being overly cautious back then, nobody blamed them. Nobody was like, ah, what are you doing? You know? Wait. I want to get that thing one more time. One more time. Sheathunderwear.com/ oh, promo code Ari to get 20% off your first order of these fucking great fucking, they should be called balls on a cloud. Dick in a cloud. That's how it feels like. Sheathunderwear.com. Use promo code Ari. What was I going to say? Thank you for sponsoring the episode, Patton. Robert Patton. Isn't there a more famous Robert Patton? Or was he my acting teacher when I took Meisner class? You know, I told him I couldn't afford it and I had to stop taking the class because I was like, hey, I've run out of money. I just quit my temp job. I was like, I'm going to start making money in comedy. I told myself, I was like, I made a deal with myself and I was taking this acting class and I was like, my savings were slowly going down. I was like, I'm going to book something, a commercial, or I'm going to start making money in comedy. And I was like down to my last like couple grand back when rent was like 600, I think. And I told him, like, hey guys, I'm out of money. I'm pretty much running out of money. I got to drop the class. And they go, well, if you drop the class, how are you going to be an actor if you don't take acting class? I'm like, well, how am I going to be an actor if I'm back in fucking, you know, where I was raised? In Maryland, when I'm out of money, working for my fucking dad's friend's law firm. You know what I mean? They just try to convince you, and then it hit me. I'm like, oh, you guys are just in this for the cash. You're not here for the art form. Fuck off. No acting classes now. So anyway, what happened is after we recorded this, I went looking for podcasts. So Joe List was like, hey, I'm just thinking around my neighborhood. We thought he was being overly cautious back then. We really did. But we're like, that makes sense for Joe List. By the way, don't forget. Check out Mark Norman and Joe List every Tuesday on Tuesdays with Stories. I'm going to look up his podcast so you fucking have it. Twitter.com/Mark. Nope. It's Ari. Norman. Is that it? Boom. Nope. It's Mark Norm. It might be with a C, actually. Nope, that's it. Mark Norm. MarkNorm. If you want to get him on Instagram, he's probably something close to the same thing. So go to their podcast, Tuesdays with Stories, every Tuesday. Instagram.com/Mark. Mark Normand on Instagram. I bet he'd rather you hit him up there because he puts more fucking clips up there. So we're like, all right, it makes sense. Anyone who's been overly cautious like that, we're like, guys, it's going to be fine in like 2 days. They're going to fucking get control of it. But no one was judging anybody who was being what we thought overly cautious. We're like, I guess you're making the right move. Because how can you say, it's like one of those things where like, if you do get it and I told you no, go on and go out. We weren't thinking about the spread back then. Back then, fucking 12 days ago. Isn't that fucking nuts? Back then, it seemed like a lifetime ago. I mean, fucking Baltimore now. Until I'll be in Baltimore until fucking, I got to assume June. At minimum, I got to assume like beginning of June. At minimum. Because even if they're like, all right, we got it. They're still going to say, still don't go out for 2 more weeks to be sure to like to quarantine everyone who might have it, you know? So that's mid-May. We're late March right now. We're not fucking 6 weeks away from saying, no way. No way. Earliest possible dream scenario, I get out of Baltimore by the end of May. It's a new reality. It's a new fucking reality, what's going on right now. It's kind of actually interesting, and we'll talk about it probably with Sean Patton. I want him to come on and talk about Katrina and the similarities. And I'll have him on, you know, over Skype or whatever. But, so, for whatever. Joe List was out. Sure. Great. And I texted a bunch of people. Andrew Schulz was like, no, we're doing full quarantine because his producer's mom had cancer. And he goes, if my producer gets it right now, that means he can't see his mom. He'll have to separate from his mom. We didn't know that you could, like, spread it before you even showed symptoms. It was like 12 days ago. Different fucking world. Different understanding of this thing. And he was like, if he does get it, that means he won't be able to see his mom for you know, maybe a month. And she's got terminal cancer. He doesn't want to, like, not be able to see her in her last few months. She might live for years, but he doesn't know. And he doesn't want to, like, give up some of that quality time. So he goes, me and the other people running the podcast have all agreed to fully quarantine, only see each other. And I was like, great. Not going to argue with that. Hope everything's great. I'll get you on the podcast later. Stay safe. You know, there's no like, come on, dude. There's very little of that. Some of my other friends out of town, staying with friends through this. I'm like, sure, okay. Joe DeRosa, you want to come in? Sure. Okay, so I was going to do a Joe DeRosa. And overnight, from when this last podcast was recorded until the next afternoon, so I finished with Mark. Then I got DeRosa to come in tomorrow. He's like, well, I got to write this thing for Penthouse. And I was like, sure, write it. Well, he goes, what time? I don't know what time. I was like, whatever time, dude. I have the keys to the place. I can just come in and press record. I'm not going to have a producer. I didn't want to lose the fucking, what do I have on this podcast? It's like, what's the word? I got to get high. I read this thing that fucking cannabis is just as bad for you. Smoking weed is just, it makes you just as susceptible as cigarettes or they didn't separate it. And I asked Rogan about it and he was like, yeah, it might be bad. He said he's cutting down. And then vaporizers said also really bad for you. So I haven't gotten high in fucking 4 or 5 days. What are we on now? Thursday? I haven't gotten high since Sunday? Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. 5 days. So I'm not thinking clearly. What's it called where you're like, please tell me I'm recording? What's it called where you're like, am I recording this too? Yeah. What is it called? It's like when you're like really calm with somebody, where you don't feel like anyone's, it's like a relaxedness. Ah, I know the word. I can never remember the word integrity. I don't know why I'm getting that now. And I can never remember the word, this word, anyway. But it's like this relaxed nature of this podcast. And that came, I decided a long time ago, we're not doing video because I don't want people feeling like they're being interviewed. So what I got in the studio was, and it wasn't there this time because Becky was there because she was helping me set up. It was like the first couple, you'll be there with me. And then from then on, I just want to be able to go in, press record myself, and then ignore the cameras and not have anyone else there listening to us. So DeRosa was like, what time can I come in? I was like, dude, anytime. It doesn't matter. It's not like I have a studio where we have like specific time. You know? Whenever. Till whenever. Let's just drink some beers and fucking, or some tequila that he likes, silver tequila. It'll change his life. You know, he told me it'll silver tequila. Switch to silver tequila, dude. He goes, it changed my life. And I said, dude, if switching from one alcohol to another changed your life, you are an alcoholic. But anyway, he was like, sure, we're in. By the next morning, I was like, hey, Joe, I think this might be a bad idea. I called Becky. I said, I don't want you coming in anymore. Come in one more time. We'll meet to like get rid of everything. And I think we're done for a while. I thought it might just be a week. I'm like, let's just be safe. And it turned out to be indefinitely. And it was just really fucking sad. That great studio. Sitting there fucking unused. I hope they pass a deal that helps me not pay that fucking rent on that place. That was way too expensive. That is being paid for by the Patreon subscribers. Patreon.com/SkepticTank. I'll give you as much fucking new shit as I can, but you guys are helping me pay for that studio and all this equipment to fucking pay for this. That audio recorder. The tripod that it's on. This new fucking Mogami gold cord, which is the cords you should use. If you're doing a podcast, it costs a little more, but it's best sound quality. Anyway, there'll be shit up there on patreon.com/skeptic. But anyway, I told Joe List to come in, and he was like, and then by the end, it was like, nah, he went that fast. By the next day, it was like, oh, this is done. It's nutty. So I don't remember because it was 12, 13 days ago and a lifetime of happenings ago, what me and Mark exactly talked about the coronavirus. But so whatever we said, keep in mind it was that long ago, so we weren't wrong, we were right for the time. My listeners understand, not to judge me based on like fucking when you're listening, but time and place. But here we are, you know, we're in this place now. So wherever you are, I hope not only you stay safe, but you stay entertained by constantly coming back, going to the YouTube page. I'm telling you, this podcast, the Me, Jay, and Dan podcast, we don't have a name for yet that we will discuss with a name on the first episode. The workout regimen, the fucking fireside chats, the Morning Joe. So I said the difference between my Morning Joe and whatever's on ESPN. Or is it Fox News? I don't know. One of those is a Morning Joe show. And I was like, fuck, let me just name it this. I might rename it. But I was like, the way I'll separate it is I'll just make fun of one Joe. Boy, those guys don't do that. I was on the spot. I was like, oh, I need a name for this. So I was like, I'll just make up. So I was like, I'll make fun of one Joe. So DeRosa was one of them. I did two of them. And I might put those on. I'll probably put those on Patreon because I don't have the whole series until I get to my parents' house. I won't be able to do the whole series, and maybe even then, because I can't imagine my mom coming in and letting me use the fucking kitchen uninterrupted. I mean, if she went to work, it's one thing, but ain't no work. So what was I gonna say? So that might not happen. So I'll put that on Patreon. Also, mailbag episodes where I'll answer your questions or topics that get me started. I looked them over. Don't worry. If you're listening, I looked them over. I'll get to them. But I just put my last set from the cellar up there. So you have something while I fucking did this move. I pack everything up. It was 3 days of fucking madness. It's 3 days of madness. Packing everything I thought I need until possibly the end of time. Like, there is always that possibility that I might not get back to that apartment till mid to late summer. But in possibly might never get back to that apartment. So I'm like, what do I need with me in that time? A few changes of clothes, you know, some underwear. I'm actually, since it got worse and I'm thinking I might be gone longer, I'm glad I brought those Sheath underwear now, especially now that they're fucking comfortable. So yeah, that's the episode. Now I got to fucking think of music, give that shit to Becky. The music choices will continue to be mine. And no one else's. It's one of the reasons I never wanted to get a producer. Because I'm like, no, I like the fact that it's my taste in music. And not anybody else's, you know? You know what's funny to me now? All these comics who, like, had to change their dates. They rescheduled till, like, April. Now they're rescheduling again. I'm like, guys,
whatever. I guess I got families to feed. Dude, if you get a family, you just become so much more responsible. And you're like, I need this money. It's just like needy for income. It's fucking crazy, spoken to someone with a Patreon. But they're rescheduling again for like May and June. And it's like, good luck with that. But you're going to reschedule again. I ain't scheduling dates till fucking probably next year. I had a governor's date in Long Island in July, and I had Edinburgh, the Fringe Festival, which is like a break-even month, which is just to work on new material, because I'm a comic who cares about his craft and not about the fucking money all the time. You got to do shit to pay into the fucking art form. You're making enough money. You can live. So it's not every moment doesn't have to be about raking in cash. Anyway, I had a governor's gig in July, which we haven't rescheduled, but I don't see happening. Could be, but I just don't see it happening. Edinburgh, got to assume they're going to say that's off soon, which, you know, gives me my summer back, which is great. I don't know. Am I going to be able to get my... Thank God this pandemic, didn't know what that word was, fucking 2 months ago, struck now, because otherwise I don't think I'd get my two new countries a year. I mean, this will have to end by... I guess December. If it ends by December 1st and we can go like flying to other countries, I can get my two countries and continue my streak. I can 2 weeks somewhere, another week and a half somewhere else, and get my shit down. But yeah, if I relied on it like last year, I got Colombia in December. That wouldn't happen if the fucking pandemic broke out. By the way, I spoke to my host family. They're way locked up, more than we are. They are like, we cannot leave our places. It's not like go on walks. They don't do that. They go across the street to the supermarket to get necessities and then right back. All that idea that like fucking in hot countries it doesn't exist, that's all wrong. In Austria, they were on lockdown way before America. And they're like, in America, we have this thing of like, or California, like, it hasn't hit here yet. I'm like, right, yet. And I get it. I'm not judging anybody. That's going to happen, by the way. That's going to happen. I can see people going like, how come you were still going out? Fuck you. And it's like, why? Because you were 3 days ahead of him. And you were 6 days behind that guy. I'm telling you, we have to tell ourselves when this all ends, we're not going to blame anybody for handling it wrong. It's just they didn't let it in. They didn't understand. They didn't read the same reports you read, or they weren't living in a fucking New York like I was, where it was spreading like wildfire. I was asking my LA friends, like, are you still doing podcasts and meeting up? What? Are you fucking crazy? And they're like, what? We don't shake hands. I'm like, I know, but you're sitting right across. They're sitting across from each other as far away as this camera is. A piece of spittle can come out. When I say can come out of my mouth, a piece of little tiny spittle can come out and just land right on your lip. And then maybe you don't show symptoms, but maybe you give it to someone, the next guest. Or maybe he touches the, maybe he goes like this, touches the desk. The next guest comes in, touches it. And now it's moved on. And some old person dies. And I was like, are you crazy still on podcasts? And they're like, well, you were doing spots fucking 4 days ago. I'm like, yeah, before the fucking cases tripled in New York in 3 days. But again, it's just like they weren't seeing it the way New Yorkers were seeing it because it was exploding in New York. So you can't blame anybody for not being on the same schedule you're on. You know, you weren't in Italy. You were like, whoa, over there. It didn't get let in. We got to all forgive ourselves. We got to all forgive ourselves and just get over it together. It is pretty hilarious, though, that there ain't no more trans. That ain't a fucking thing you can brag about. Not anymore. Not anymore, bitch. We're all victims now. So anyway, that's the episode. Hope you enjoyed it. Check back probably later this week for another episode. I'll have On Skeptic Pod on the YouTube. I'll have the me, Dan, and Jay podcast, as of right now unnamed, but will be named when we upload it. And that'll have its own, like, you know, iTunes, Laughable, Spotify, whatever else, Stitcher, whatever else feed. I don't know what else to say. That's the episode. Was I missing something? Mark's healthy, by the way. Only one comic that I have heard of has gotten it, Michael Yo. Jeffrey Gurian got it, and he's in a bad spot. Found out today. But so far, everybody I know is pretty safe and okay, which is nice. I mean, it went from me, you could hear me and Mark talking about it. I guarantee we weren't thinking we might get it. But it's nuts. It's nuts. So hope you guys are staying safe. Skeptic Tank listeners, make sure to subscribe. If your friends are looking for some fucking something to listen to, something to watch while they're quarantined, please recommend this podcast. I'm telling you, I'll tell you what. Why don't you wait? This is supposed to launch. The YouTube channel is supposed to launch April 1st. This episode will be up before that. I think it was 27th, 28th, 29th. Yeah, it should be up before that. But the official launch will be April 1st. And why don't you wait a week if you don't trust me? Because I've been wrong in the past. Best intentions, best laid plans, something, 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 quote. But if April 7th I put up a bunch of stuff, recommend this YouTube channel to them. Tell them, like, hey, Ari's putting up some fucking fun shit. You might like it. Do me a favor. Help me spread this shit. You know, help me get it really going. I want to get a bunch of fucking subscriptions on iTunes. If I do, that means they can't fuck with me and take it down, and I make some money. Don't charge you anything. Make me some money in fucking advertisements. You know what's nuts? We were leaving town. I'm sure I'll talk about this later. And we took Bandit to the vet, and then we were driving back to get our shit, to get, you know, pack up our perishables for the trip down to Baltimore. And what was I going to say? Oh, we were passing all these clothes stores, right? It's clothing stores. Old Navy, Paragon. There's another one, I forget. He looked foolish. Obviously, they're clothes, right? Nobody's going clothes shopping. But we're so removed from the idea of shopping for clothes in just a few days that it looked as ridiculous as, you ever watch like a network television show on mute in a bar, like NBC, and you see like that sitcom-y, like, you know how Seinfeld is like on a stage and Friends was like in a stage? It's not like Arrested Development where it's out, shot out. I forget what one's called, one camera, one's called three camera. I forget. I think three camera is the set, the stage. And when you see it on mute, it's like without the laugh track there, it just looks like, ew. And they cut to commercial and you're like, ew, weird. That's how those closed stores look like. It was like, oh, and you look left and right, none of them are open because and they're not necessary. No one's missing them. No one's like, I need Old Navy. They need bars. Nobody needs Old Navy. And it looked like so fucking foolish to have them there. And then it hit us. We're like, me and Tony were like, is that all we're treated like? Are we just treated like fucking, we're just treated like, I say this a lot, like breathing wallets. That's it. And dude, when this all is all end, when this is all over, shit is going to change. Maybe not for long term, but for a little while, shit is going to change. It makes me think, like, I think the new fashion will be functionality. I think sewing up a hole in your jeans will be more valuable than fucking buying new jeans. People like, ooh, cool patch, will be like a new, fun, like, bragging thing. You know? Way to sew that up. It's like, it'll be that. Where'd you get that? Like, I found it in this place, and I sewed two shitty torn hats together to make one. It's like, that's awesome. We'll see. We'll see. You know, there's no real protecting. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, that's the episode. Thank you, Mark Norman, for coming in. Let him know that you like the episode on Twitter, at Mark Norm, with a K, or on Instagram, at Mark Normand. Please check out his podcast, Tuesdays of Stories, that he does every Tuesday with Joe List. I'm telling you, it's one of the best comedy podcasts out there. If you're looking for something else to listen to, for sure listen to that. So that's it, ladies and gentlemen. That's the episode. Ari Shaffir Skeptic, episode 380. Have a Corona with Mark Norman. Over and out. Goodbye.
When I was yay high till I was three, I suffered from petty mal epilepsy. Any excitement gave me a fit, but there were drugs to cure me of it. Weird diseases. I get weird diseases.
get weird diseases. So at the least sign of emotion, I got a tranquilizing potion. Thus from the time I was a young boy, I could feel neither anger nor joy, just weird diseases. Side hunt.